ജയം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദം ഭക്തിവിദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി ഹരശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ദി അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമി നിധി നാമിനെ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീവേ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണെ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണെ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്തസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനാശലാകയാ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലിതാം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടാം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്തികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാൻവിതം തം സജീവം സദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം വിനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാൻ സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാൻവിതാംശ്ച നമോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണി നമോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി നാമിനി ശ്രീവർഷഭാനവീ ദേവി ദൈതായ കൃപാബ്ദൈ കൃഷ്ണസംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദായിനേ പ്രഭവേ നമഃ മാധുര്യോജ്വല പ്രേമോദ്യ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗഭക്തിദ ശ്രീഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീ മൂർത്തയേ ദീനധാരിണി രൂപാനുഗവിരുദ്ധാവ സിദ്ധാന്തദ്വന്ദഹാരിണി ഗൗരകിഷോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രലംബരസാംബോധേ പദാംബുജായതേ നമഃ നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനേ ഗൗരശക്തിസ്വരൂപായ രൂപനുഗവരായതേ ഗൗരാവിർഭവഭൂമേസ്ത്വം നിർദ്ദേഷ്ടാ സജ്ജനപ്രിയ വൈഷ്ണവാ സർവഭൗമശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായതേ നമഃ വാഞ്ചകൽപതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധൂഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ നമോ മഹാവദാന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമ പ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യനാമ്നേ ഗൗരത്വിഷേ നമഃ ജഗത്തത്മാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമിം ഭക്തശാത്വികം ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ ജയതാം സുരതോ പങ്കോർ മമം മന്ദമതേർഗതി മത്സർവസ്വപദാംഭോജൗ രാധാമദനമോഹനൗ ദിവ്യവൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാദ ശ്രീമന്ദ്രത്നാകരസിംഹാസനസ്ഥോ ശ്രീമന്ദ്രാധാശീലഗോവിന്ദദേവോ പ്രേഷ്ടാലിഭിസേവ്യമാനൗ സ്മരാമി ശ്രീമന്ദ്രാസരസാരംഭി ഓം ശ്രീവടതടസ്ഥിത കർഷാൻ വേണുസ്വനേർഗോപീർഗോപിനാഥാശ്രിയേസ്തുനാ തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവീ പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ രാം രാം രാമ ഹരേ हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। From now on, we will Saturday we will keep it Bhagavad Gita, and whole Sunday we'll do Bhagavatam. Because otherwise it gets a little bit mixed up, both on the classes and the web also. So to avoid confusion, we will make it like that. Saturday we'll keep Bhagavad Gita, and Sunday we'll do Bhagavatam. So let us go like that, and when we finish this chapter, what we are doing in Srimad Bhagavatam at the moment, the 19th chapter, which will take quite a while, after that we'll see if there is any change needed. Because there are so many other books also which we want to discuss in the devotees, particularly Mukundamala one, Bhajagovindam another one, and prayers like that, which are very interesting because they have out of the several commentaries written, mainly the commentaries on Brahma Sutram and Upanishad Bhashyam, they are on a much higher level. But for ordinary people to enter into spiritual life and get life active in spirituality, they gave us this, particularly these books, Mukundamala, Bhajagovindam, Gita Govindam, they are all in that category. Stotram, they are called, Stotram. Sotra means stuti, glorifications, with the principles of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam incorporated in that. Anyway, we'll come to that later. So, we'll go back to where we stopped last time. As I was mentioning, this 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita leads to the 12th chapter. You will see that when we close this chapter, how Krishna takes us to the 12th chapter of Bhakti Yoga from this 11th chapter of universal form, Vishwarupa Darshanam. Vishwarupa Darshanam, universal form, was shown for some specific reasons. Some specific reasons it was shown to Arjuna. Krishna could have done away without showing the universal form, but for some specific reasons he showed this universal form to Arjuna. That is the one important thing to remember. As I mentioned also in the beginning of this chapter, that in the first 10 chapters, if you look, it is all Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya means the knowledge of the soul. The 10 chapters, if you look, it's all related to Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya means completely on the spiritual platform, purely on the platform of the soul it was spoken. But then where is the difference? You'll see, notice in this 11th chapter, in that Brahman, which is the source, as Krishna says, Brahmano hi pratishtaham. Brahman, Krishna mentions there as the source of everything, and in that Brahman, that a movement happens of the pranan, Krishna's energy moves there, and it takes in the form of time and space. All that is happening in this 11th chapter. You can notice that. Desham, Kalam, both of them pops up in this, in the 10 chapters. If you study Bhagavad Gita in the first 10 chapters, there is no time and space in that. Have you noticed that? It's all without time and space. Time and space has no impact on the first 10 chapters. It's outside time and space. Whereas in the 11th chapter, in the background of Brahman, in that Brahman, pranan moves, and in the result of that, that's where you will see their creation, sustenance, dissolution all happening. This is all because of the time and space. Isn't it? Time and space is affecting the creation, sustenance and dissolution. That is the main thing we see here. So, actually there's only two things here. In the 11th chapter, what you see there is Swabhavam. Up to that, what you are seeing is Swarupam. These two things, we should always keep it in our understanding, because Swarupam is the same for everyone. Everybody has the same Swarupam. In Swabhavam, we are all different. Everybody is different. You see? In Swarupam, we are exactly the same. Nobody is different from another. But in Swabhavam, every one of us are different. Swabhava means, in other words, what Krishna calls it as Prakriti. Or the our nature, whichever way we like to put it. There's different terminologies used in essence, it's one and the same. So, up to the point of 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is talking to Arjuna about the Swarupam. About the Swarupam or the principle of the soul. Atmatattvam, as it is mentioned. So, that is very much based on the Upanishad's knowledge. But here, we also mentioned, these all things I have spoken in the last class also. And we have come to mention two things. What is that? These three states of existence. Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti. What was important about that was that the dream state was given to us to show how creation happens. The deep sleep state was shown to us to show our Swarupam. How subtle the whole thing is. Try to understand our body. We consider this body simply as a bunch of material elements, isn't it? But within this material elements, this package, Krishna has also put these three states of existence. Which namely, Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti. Which means the vacant state, the dream state and the deep sleep. And the deep sleep. Analyzing these three states in a very deeper level will make you realize how foolish we are not accepting this truth from when Krishna mentions this. Not accepting the truth of our own existence in the way Krishna has spoken about it. There, Krishna mentions there that how to show to us how creation happens, the dream state was given, which is easy to understand. We go into the dream state. In the dream, we create everything, isn't it? We create everything in the dream state. Just like if I see this room with all people who are here, I go into the room, I sleep, and in the dream, I see the whole class as it is, as they are. They were not present there physically, but then who created it? That is the power of the soul. Soul's capacity in the dream state to create. That creative potency in the soul is shown by that. That very thing, what we think, creation, we talk about it. And Bhagavad Gita is saying to us that this so-called creation is also, Krishna's creation is in a similar way. From the soul, all this manifestation has happened. And we take it so seriously about this creation. Isn't it? So, similarly, through the dream state, Krishna is shown to us the creation process. And for that purpose, Krishna gave us this dream state to understand what creation process means. And Krishna also gave us the deep sleep state to make us aware what is our Swarupam is. Our Swarupam. Otherwise, how would you know your Swarupam? You will never know. You will always think you are this body. Is it not? In vacant state, body is there, the mind is there, I am there. In the dream state, body is gone, mind is there, I am there. When it goes to deep sleep, body has gone, mind has gone, I am still there. And when I come out from that deep sleep state, I realize it is me, that awareness that never gets affected. Body is moving, I am losing the body, I am losing the mind. Still I felt happiness when I came out from that third state of Sushupti, deep sleep. To prove it to us that it is not because of the body and the mind you are happy in this world. Something else that is actually giving the proper happiness to us. Proper happiness. To make us aware of that, that is why this deep sleep was given to us. This is all in the Upanishad, it's nothing new. Everything Krishna has put in the Bhagavad Gita in such a way that's completely corroborated by the Upanishad's knowledge. Realized sages, realized souls, great sages, it's their conclusion that is. So, they have told us, if you want to know by this, what is the benefit then? If you analyze deep sleep state very well, and if you keep that focused on that, you can see yourself that always come to this conclusion that body is not mine. I'm not this body. I'm not this mind. All these upadhis will leave you one after the other. If we keep focused on that. To get rid of the upadhi, there is no other way.
Simply I keep chanting, I'm not this body is going not going to make much difference. It will only happen if we keep on thinking in our side from this experience of these three states, that in deep sleep, when I lost my body, lost my mind, I was still experiencing more happiness than when I had the body and the mind. To prove it to us that in the absence of the body and the mind, you are situated in your proper state. So, Sushupti's importance is there. So, from these two states, dream state and the deep sleep, you can understand your Swabhavam and Swarupam. Swabhavam and Swarupam. Swabhavam from the dream state and Swarupam from the deep sleep. Swarupam you can only understand on a theoretical level at the moment. It is not completely experienced. Why? What is the reason? The reason is this, that as soon as you go into deep sleep state, there is a, we'll study this in the later, in the three modes of material nature, where Krishna is saying there, that powerful tamogunam is inside at that state, in the deep sleep state. And that tamogunam covers the soul in a very powerful way. The tamogunam, the depth or the thickness or the coating of this tamogunam is so deep on us in the deep sleep state. What you have to remember, when you come back to the vacant state from the deep sleep, that tamogunam follows. And on top of that tamogunam, you are building rajogunam and sattogunam. The foundation is tamogunam, on which rajogunam and sattogunam is built up. That is why, even after going to sattogunam, the chances of falling back into rajogunam and tamogunam is very, very strong. We are unable to stay in the state of sattogunam. So, Krishna's point is, that we will come to that in that verse when we discuss the three modes of material nature, where Krishna mentions this in the later chapter. I think it is in the 14th chapter, where he mentions that where he keep talking about tamogunam very strongly. He mentions how tamogunam is influencing everything. Krishna seems to have a tremendous rajogunam on its own itself is a headache, very difficult to get out of it. But when he brings this tamogunam into it, you can see there where he mentions there. If you look into the Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga, that is the 14th chapter, you will see there in the verse number verse 8, if you look, 8th verse. Eighth and the ninth, we'll of course discuss that when we come to that verses a lot more. Krishna saying, tamastat ajnanajam viddi mohanam sarvadehinam. This is the 8th verse. Pramadam alasyam nidra nidrabi tan nibadhnadi bharada. Krishna is saying, Arjuna, tamogunam comes from ajnanam, from avidya or ignorance. And it puts everyone into delusion. What does it do? It creates ashraddha. Ashraddha means not able to focus on the truth. Alasyam, laziness, and nidra, sleep. And through these three agents, tamogunam binds us strongly. Tamaha, tridiyo gunaha, ajnanajam, ajnanajadam, ajnanajam viddhi mohanam. Mohakaram, avivekakaram, sarvadehinam, sarvayasham, dehavadam, pramadam, alasyam, nidrabi, pramadanja, alasanja, nidraja, pramada, alasya, nidradabi, tal, tamo, nibadhnadi, bharada. That is that explanation to that line. Pramada, alasya, nidrabi, tal, nibadhnadi, bharada. What is mentioned there? It says here that ajnanam, jadam, ajnanajam, vidhi, mohanam, mohakaram, so, pramad, alasya, nidrabi. Pramadam, alasyam, nidra. Three things. So, what it happens? Pramadam actually, if you understand, misunderstanding. What is a misunderstanding? Misunderstanding is this, what? I'm this body. That's a misunderstanding. See how deep that misunderstanding is in us. We think why we are still unable to get out of this, isn't it? That so much we are talking about, I'm not this body. but it only takes a few seconds to get back to the body again. It's a very helpless situation, is it not? That is what is called pramadam. What that pramadam is a kind of misunderstanding coming from this samogunam, which is with the soul even in the deep sleep state. Whereas rajogunam and sattugunam more or less leaves you with vacant state and dream state. This follows you into the deep sleep as well. Rajogunam and sattugunam is not disturbing you in the deep sleep, isn't it? See, whereas tamogunam follows you there. That is why tamogunam is very troublesome for this reason. And with that background of tamogunam, on top of that, you are trying to develop sattugunam later. And sometimes in Rajogunam. So that's why in the next verse, Krishna says, look at that. Krishna says, in essence of all the three, Sattvam Sukhe Sanjayadi Rajakarmani Bharatam Jnanam Avrtyadotama Pramade Sanjayadhyudaham. Krishna says, Sattvam Sukhe Sanjayadi. Sattvam, what does Sattvam do? Sattvam creates Sukham. Sattvam creates Sukham. Satyam Sukhe Sanjayadi. It gives you a feeling of happiness in life. Sukham. Happiness for what? Because Satyam is closer to the truth. Closer to the truth. That's why the happiness is coming from there. Satyam Shanti. What is the... Krishna mentions that before, isn't it? Prakasham cha. Prakasham. Prakasham means enlightenment. A kind of influence of this knowledge of the soul, that is, happens in Sattugunam. Only in Sattugunam it happens, the knowledge of the soul. Sattval Sanjayade Jnanam, Krishna says in the Bhagavatam. So, as I mentioned before, all of us are hearing Bhagavad Gita, all of us are reading Bhagavad Gita, but only those who are in the Sattugunam will capture the message properly. Otherwise, if you read Bhagavad Gita in Rajogunam, what will happen, you know? Immediately you'll get up, I've got to do a lot of things in this world. You'll run around to sort out the whole world. That will be the Rajogunam effect. Effect Rajogunam. If it is Tamogunam, what will happen is, you'll completely misunderstand Bhagavad Gita. Exactly opposite things, everything what Krishna has said, will get into the head. So, this is why, while studying Shastram, what they insist on, is that to get that Chitta Shuddhi inside. Purification, one's own purification. That is where sadhana comes. Sadhana only can do that. There's nothing else we can do about it. Steady sadhana, anushtanam is important. The word anushtanam is more specific than sadhana because sadhana you perform with some goal, some desire inside or to linked with some desire or some goal is sadhana. That's why with sadhana they say sadhyam, the goal. Anushtanam is what is actually the right word. Anushtanam means a steadiness in life. A perfect process, that means every day doing something without hindrance from the influence of the mind. If the mind says something, don't do it. No, you don't listen to the mind, you do it still. That is called anushtanam. Anushtanam, nishta, these are the words used in the Shastram very seriously. But somehow the other, somebody says sadhana, everybody says sadhana, 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 like that. It comes. The right word is anushtanam. Anushtanam means nishta, fixed up form, process. Why? Through anushtanam, you will come out of this impurities in the chitta shuddhi. Sattugunam will develop in a person. And only in sattugunam, Krishna is saying this knowledge of the soul will manifest in a person. If you look into that verse, sattvam sukhe sanjayati. Sattvam brings that sukham, happiness inside. Rajak karmani bharadam. As soon as Rajogunam manifests in a person, he is ready for action. He cannot stay. He cannot be quiet. He has to do something. Rajak karmani bharada. Krishna's words it is. Sattvam sukhe sanjayadi. Rajak karmani bharada. Then, jnanam avruptyadu tamam. Jnanam, what it does? Avaranam, coverage. Like happens in the deep sleep. It's avaranam. It covers everything. Jnanam avrutyadadamam pramade sanjayatyudaham. So, and because of this coverage, avarana shakti. You remember? Two words we spoke about before. Vikshepam and avaranam. Avaranam and vikshepam. These are two important words in the Shastram referring to our ignorance. Avarana covering potency and the deluding potency. Prabhupada translated those two words like that. Covering potency is the avaranam and deluding potency is the vikshepam. Just like if you see a rope here, if you see a rope here lying in the twilight or in the darkness, and you misunderstood as a snake, so not seeing the rope is called the covering potency. It has been covered by some other knowledge. Seeing it as a snake is the deluding potency. Yeah, not seeing it as a rope is the covering potency, but the seeing it as a snake is the deluding potency. Avaranam and vikshepam. So out of this, the avaranam is more powerful, because of avaranam only vikshepam happens, isn't it? Because of avaranam, vikshepam happens. Avaranam is the first misunderstanding, and second misunderstanding is the vikshepam. So avarana vikshepam, you will see Krishna talks about here, that jnanam avrutya dutama. So tamam, tamogunam does that avaranam. That's what he's saying here. Jnanam avrutya dutamam pramade sanjayatyudaham. Pramadam happens. Once pramadam hums, then nothing you can do then. In such a deeper level, we have to understand Bhagavad Gita in the most subtle level, because otherwise it's not a book like which you can prove it to someone. Look, this is what it is. If you have to keep on analyzing what with yourself in relationship with our own body and the mind, how these three modes is continuously covering us and putting us in a very, very difficult corner, difficult state. So that's what we were talking about last time. And we saw there that from a long distance, not very closely, from a long distance, Krishna is showing to us our swarupam in the deep sleep. From a long distance, you can take notice of our swarupam. This is my swarupam. So, on the other hand, in the dream state, without any freedom of yourself, you have no freedom at that time. So many thoughts and emotions are coming in the dream state, isn't it? So many thoughts and emotions are coming in the dream state. So, what is actually popping up at that time is our swabhava. So, if we do not know what we are, our subtle body is, it is this dream state will give you a very good indication of where you are in spiritual life. Where you are in spiritual life. This is why dream state has been created. Otherwise, you wonder why dream state, isn't it? Why Krishna created this dream state? We could have had two states, Jagrat or deep sleep, like animals and all. Most of them have in that state. They don't have this third state. But that is why when Brahma created our body, it says, Brahmava loka dishanam udamava deva. Brahma is saying there, all facilities required for self-realization is in this body, which other bodies don't have. Which other bodies don't have. So that is why, because our vasanas, whatever we have inside in our subtle body from several lifetimes, all this comes out in the dream in some form. And when you if you observe and analyze those dreams, it will give you a very strong indication where you are in your spiritual life. Otherwise, it is not necessary all this. These are all Upanishad's conclusions. It's nothing new about it. Our sages, the great, great sages, the rishis, they went into life to understand this in such a subtle level, and they gave us this understanding. Take care of all these things and you can realize the truth here now. Before, you don't have to go to Golokam, Vaikuntham or Kailasam or anywhere, right in this body here. If you make understand these things, change can and realization can happen here. So it is enough to know that, but because there is vasana inside, we call them as vasana, which has come in the sushupti state, sorry, dream state, what we are experiencing is nothing but our own vasanas. And that vasanas will give you a very strong indication how the tendencies inside, whatever weaknesses are in us, it's very easy to find it out in the dream state, when the dreams comes up. And that is a good thing. Because otherwise, how would we know? It's no point in telling everybody else that we are all very advanced and we are this and we are that and beating the drum. It's all waste of time. When there is such a scientific analysis of a person, all the great devotees, great acharyas, they give so much importance to dream state. Because from the dream state, they know where they are at, what they are at. It's not GBC decides where what state you are. This is a bogus. This is all not spiritual. This is materialistic understanding. Institutions deciding where you are in spiritual life. No, Krishna has packaged it in such a way that you yourself can know where you are in your spiritual life. And that is why many of the great devotees, when they wrote their spiritual literature, when they presented to us, most of it has happened in their dream state. Many, many things has come from the... Because it is difficult otherwise. It's not everything was repeated. Krishna has repeated the pastimes all the time for everyone. In their own dream states, Krishna has given the revelations to them to understand themselves. And many, many, many famous literature centered around bhakti process, it's all happened in the dream state. That is what where it was originated from the dream state. So dream state is svabhavam. Very clear. Svabhavam is our nature, vasanas inside, that is dream state. And similarly, another important thing is, exactly like the dream state, jagrat state also, you don't have to feel any doubt about that. Because this vacant state is also is another dream state that you will see in the Yoga Vasishtam. Vasishtha Maharshi says to Ramachandra, the word he uses is Dirga Swapnamimam Vidhi. Ramachandra, it is a long dream state. That's the only difference between the dream state in the night and the daydream. So, you can see, how do we understand that? Because if you say that to someone, they will say, oh, I think there's something wrong with you. That this is real, what we are living in this world. Everything is very real here, isn't it? That's because we haven't understood spiritual life properly. Just to give you an example. So, someone who was close to you for a long period of time, he died. Take for example, someone who was close to you for a long period of time, he died. He or she, what is, somebody died. And so, when that person died, what has happened? For some time you grieve, isn't it? You feel distressed about it, the separation from him. And after a while, as time passes, you will notice that many things what you had experienced while he was living has all gone away from your memory. It only remains in a very, in the chittam, it will remain like a video inside. Not completely, as some snapshots of some part of his life or her life will stay inside, will be inside. So, so in other words, as though you see something, somebody with whom you have lived for a long time on a daily basis, with whom you knew very well, and you knew so well each other. Suppose one person leaves you, you think about it after 25 years. You try to remember, if can you recreate that mood now? It's not possible. It's not possible. That person is gone. When the impression he has created in you when he was with you, you cannot create that anymore after 25 years or 30 years time. Because day by day, all that memory of that person slips off from you. And a few things in life probably you will remember. Few things. And by the time you get 70, 80 or something like that, practically nothing will be there in your memory. If you think about that, where is the difference between that and the dream you are having at night? This is the question. You are seeing a dream in the night. In the morning you wake up, you don't get the whole dream back. You get some snippets or some bits and pieces from that, from the dream, isn't it? Whereas dream has got the capacity to pack 20 years life in 20 minutes. It can experience, you can experience that 20 years life in 20 minutes in the dream state. Similarly, when you wake up from the dream state, all that has happened in the dream is completely lost and you get a few things from that. Similarly, what you have experienced in your whole life with someone and who left you, over a period of time, it simply remains as a dream only. There is not much of a difference. I know people will, if you see in the newspaper, they will advertise 10th, what do they call it, 10th anniversary, 50th anniversary. We have to ask the question, on the 50th anniversary, how much do you remember compared to the 10th anniversary? And on the 10th anniversary, how much you remember when it happened? But why? They try to remember the person somehow. They are struggling. So they put the advertisement in the paper. But material nature won't allow you to do it. It has its own way. Nature will work its own way. It's nothing you can do about it. That's the way it is. So what is the difference? So only difference is the dream state lasts for a short time. This one lasts a little longer time. This so-called waking state. So, Durga Swapnamimam Vidhi, Vasishtha says to Ramachandra, Rama, this is a long dream, he says to him. This is a Yoga Vasishtham is there. You can look at it. So, because even that statement in Vedantam is questioned. You know why? Because when you say something is a longer, it lasts for a longer time, Vedantam says that bring you the concept of time into it. And time is a false thing as far as the point of view of the absolute position. Time is also a false thing. Because time is a concept, isn't it? Which is not real. It's only a concept. Who decided there's a thing called the time? We decided. And Krishna doesn't say there's a thing called the time. It's in existing like this forever. And there's no concept of time there. We brought this concept of time to create our transactions in this world easier. We invented all different kinds of time measurement arrangements, everything. So, Jagrat is also another dream state. At the moment, if you look, you feel that there's a lot of people are existing in this creation. Isn't it? After some time, one after the other, everybody pops out from here. Sometimes you may be the last one to go, or sometimes you may be the first one to go. Who knows? Where is the calculation for all these things? By some Krishna's arrangement, for some reason, for some time, some people got together, and some afterwards, everyone goes their own way. Why? Here is the principle of Bhagavad Gita. Remember, I mentioned this before. If you have taken it in a serious level, you will know this, what Krishna is pointing at. What is not in the beginning, what is not in the end, and if it's only if you see in the middle, actually it has no existence. This is Krishna's point. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna put that, isn't it? Na asado vidyade bhavaha, na abhavo vidyade sataha. That is the word. You see, four letters only Krishna wanted to tell us the truth. Na asado vidyade bhavaha. Asat has no bhavam. And sat has no abhavam. If you remember this, you have understood Bhagavad Gita. It is not in the science. Science won't tell you this. Krishna will tell you this. Science won't tell you. Science will tell you how to play with the asat. That's what science is telling us. Krishna is telling us, na asado vidyade bhavaha. Asat cannot have any bhavam. This is the most important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Na abhavo vidyate sadaha. Sat cannot have abhavam. You cannot destroy sat, and nor you cannot give existence to asat. Existence to asat. That verse should be thoroughly digested, thoroughly studied and reflected upon. Na sado vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sada. Then what else he says? Ubhayoravi drishtvandam. Ubhayoravi. These two truths. Drishtvandam. Tanayor Tattvadarshi. Tattvadarshi. Krishna refers to Tattvadarshi as already established this from the very beginning. So Tanayor Tattvadarshi. This is the truth Krishna is saying. And therefore, that verse is the most important verse as far as the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is concerned. Of course, in Bhagavad Gita, there is from the Bhagavad Gita, there is of course Sarvadharman Parityajyamamekam Sharanam. That we say from the final instructions from Krishna, on instruction level. But from the knowledge point of view, this is the verse. Asado Vidyade Bhava. So, because, to give you an example, what was not in the beginning, what was not in the end, but something that has appeared in the middle, it is false. That's what Krishna is saying here, isn't it? It has no existence. Just like we watch the movies, isn't it? We watch the movies. And in some movies, there will be a lot of distress, crying, and all kinds of distressful scenes there. And some people, they go for these movies. You know, before this television came, cinema was a big industry, isn't it? You know, and you can imagine India where there is such huge film theaters before, because television hasn't come to India. It has only come last 10 years or so. Before that, it was not so much television there. Everybody was going to the movie. So sometimes if you see some people, they'll go for these movies. And some of these movies is full of crying. A lot of crying goes on. And and some people, very interesting it is to watch them, they'll go every day to see the same movie. And they'll go there and they'll see, watch the movie, they'll cry and they'll go home. They'll come back next day again to cry again. It is quite common in all over the country. I've seen this happening. Sometimes these film producers know the. So on the other hand, sometimes they'll create other movies also, full of, you know, glorified version of the married life and romantic life and everything they'll create. And public, after working whole day and they're looking for some entertainment, because the mind is giving trouble, so better to go and watch somebody else's misery instead of experiencing one's own misery. That's why they go to theater. And they go to theater, cinema theater, and spend the whole night there. Watch the first show, second show. And by the time it's morning, they can come home and sleep for a few hours. Because mind is so disturbed inside, and then they go to work again. So this is how they take shelter. People take shelter of different things. Alcohol people take shelter in one way. Some people take shelter of these movies also, like this kind of movies. They think, oh, it's not doing any damage to me. But actually, this does more damage than anything else. So they will watch these movies. So where you can see, they like to cry. And they go there, they'll take a hanky with them and they'll wipe their eyes, everything, when they see all the distressful scenes in the movie. And they'll come out in the after the movie. So they've forgotten that after that. They go home. So, but they know very well nothing is real. None of them is real. They know that. Only when the bell rings, the movie starts, this whole thing starts. And when they come out, the blank screen is there and they come out and then nothing is real there. So, and then they'll say that I'll come back tomorrow and continue seeing this again. So this is like our life also. Our life is also like this, not much of a difference. A lot of crying, a lot of happiness in the middle of here and there. People who are, some people suffer a lot and misery, a lot of misery in this world and suffer a lot and cry a lot and then they leave this world. And some others, they try to get some happiness somewhere, whatever they can extract a little bit from one place or the other. So our life is also, you can analyze in this way, that 60, 70 years lasting this cinema. This cinema lasts 60, 70 years. Suppose, like a show, actually from Krishna's point of view, it is not a reality. I'll tell you why. Because this body, material body, its origin is from the soul. Remember? From the bodham, awareness. Sachidanandaru poham, asangoham, 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 puna puna, sachidanandaru poham. Satachita anandam is our proper identity, isn't it? Eternity, blissful knowledge is awareness, is our true identity. But then why this body? Body has come up in that due to various reasons. So it comes up and it, in that same bodham, awareness, it manifests and it disappears. And then another body manifests and disappears. And then another body manifests and disappears. But what remains all the time is that bodham, awareness, is what it exists at that time. So, it's not only my body, everybody's body, it is the same thing. It is the same thing. Actually, there is no such thing called as body. It's a very difficult thing to accept it, isn't it? That there is no thing called body. So, Krishna is showing here, this universal form was shown to Arjuna to prove this point. There is no such thing called body, Arjuna. What actually exists is the background of all this. So many bodies appearing, disappearing, appearing, disappearing, carrying on all the time. In that universal form, when it's happening, Krishna wants to understand Arjuna that you are talking about this war, all people dying, everything. They are not dying. Body is not the reality. To prove that to Arjuna, very powerfully, Krishna has introduced this universal form there. This was one purpose of the universal form. To make Arjuna convinced that this body is nothing but a dream. So, a large dream, out of that, it's a small form, is what Krishna has shown to Arjuna. So, many things have happened, and so many things happened in that universal form. Arjuna is looking at the universal form and he couldn't make it head and tail of it. What is this? Where is this happening, all these things? While standing, he saw Bhishma dying, Drona dying, Kripa dying, Duryodhana dying, and both the armies dying. You know, the sages, when they wrote Mahabharata, it was not a storybook. There is a long message through that to us. To prove it to us that they are right, they put it in that story form. That is why Mahabharata, if you study well, you will notice some interesting things there. In Mahabharata, it is the story, what we generally read it as, the Kauravas and the Pandavas fought the war, isn't it? Kauravas and the Pandavas fought the war. And generally, the name given to Mahabharata is not Mahabharata. The name of Mahabharata is Jayam. Jayam, Jayam. Bhagavatam also will say, like, Narayanam namaskritya naram jaiva naro tamam devim saraswadim vyasam tato jayamudirayed. Why this verse comes in Mahabharatam and Bhagavatam? Why? Because Jayam means what? Jayam means the victory. Jayam means victory. Victory of what? You may ask the question. If you look into Mahabharata, there is no victory to anybody, is there? Whole Kauravas were destroyed. All the Pandavas, except the four or five, all others dead. So you know what Duryodhana said to Yudhishthira Maharaj? You can go and rule the kingdom now. He was making a joke of Yudhishthira. You fought this war to get the kingdom back. Now you go and rule the kingdom. Where is the kingdom? There is nobody there to rule. So, this was what happened in Mahabharatam, isn't it? You know, Mahabharatam war, it is not the war that's important. What is sages telling us? Vedavyasa Maharshi has an important message in Mahabharatam to tell us. What is that? He's saying there that Kauravas and Pandavas, 18 days war fought, Krishna was with Pandavas and the army was with the Kauravas, and the battle was fought, 6.4 million people died in the battle. And at the end of the war, Bhagavatam is saying, Mahabharatam is also saying, Chadur Panjava Sheshida, four or five people were left. So Duryodhana, in his for his own satisfaction, he told Yudhishthira, now you can go and rule the kingdom now, which one wanted? Because there is nobody there to rule. Only the land is lying there. What will Yudhishthira do with the land? What can Yudhishthira do with the land? There is nobody to rule. Kshatriya wants to rule, isn't it? But there is nobody to rule, all gone. So this is what has happened. Why does it say? What is it saying? Why it's called Jayam? It says victory. Victory is the title of Mahabharatam. In the book, it's called victory. The reason is this, that Kauravas actually had born from what? Jata Shakti they are, isn't it? Jadam. From a piece of flesh they were born. You remember the birth of Kauravas? Two things, genetic engineering and the nuclear development. These two things looks that existed at the time of Mahabharatam also. It's 5000 years history it is. We don't have any clear historical record to prove that. But if you look into the explanations given in Mahabharatam, that Vedavyasa Maharshi went to see Gandhari. Gandhari was pregnant. Kunti Devi had already Yudhishthira, Bhima and Arjuna. And Gandhari was getting concerned that she had no children yet. So, out of frustration, she cut her stomach with a stone and bore it open. And a piece of flesh came out. She was blessed with children, but she couldn't wait and this happened. A piece of flesh came out from inside. It was by then, accidentally, Vedavyasa Maharshi walked in and saw the situation. So, Gandhari's unhappiness, he took that piece of flesh, cut into pieces, and put them in 100 pots, poured water into it, and chanted the mantra and left it. And told Gandhari, wait, children will be born from that. That is the genetic engineering state, what Vedavyasa was capable of doing. He did that, and 100 came out from that. Isn't it? The 100 best children of the world, they came out from that. And these 100, they were born from Jadam. Jadam, isn't it? Jadam it is. Piece of flesh is Jadam, Jada Shakti. In the Lalita Sahasranamam, because this Sahasranamam, Lalita Sahasranamam is a famous prayer where Chit Shakti, Chedana Shakti, Jada Shakti, Jadalmiga, it says. Anything born from Jadam is Asat. Anything born from Chit Shakti is Chetana. Chetana means living force. Yeah, living force is Chetana. So, Chit Shakti, Chetana Shakti, Jada Shakti, Jada Almiga. So, here, in the case of the Kauravas and the Pandavas, the Kauravas are nothing but Jada Shakti. Nothing but Jada Shakti. Pandavas also, although they were born from the great personalities like Indra, sun god, Indra, Vayu, and Nakula and Sahadeva from Ashwini Kumaras, and Yudhishthira, Bhima, Arjuna from Indra, Bhima from Vayu, Yudhishthira from Dharmadeva, Dharmaputra is called, isn't it, from Yamadeva, yeah, Dharma Raja. So those three, and Nakula and Sahadeva from Ashwini Kumaras. So all five was come from the great personalities. They didn't win neither. Now, when they won the war, what Mahabharata is saying is that Chit Shakti, Chedana Shakti, Jada Shakti, Jadalmiya. Jada Shakti can never win. It will always be Chit Shakti that will win. Chit Shakti will always win over Jada Shakti. That is the reason. So, it is the success of Chit Shakti over Jada Shakti is called Jayam. That's why it's called as Mahabharatam is called Jayam. Because these five personalities, Ashwini Kumaras, Vayu, Brahmaputra Maharaja, which is Yamadharma Raja, and Indra. They are all representing that Chit Shakti's presence here. So Chit Shakti won. Chit Shakti's win over Jada Shakti is what is called as Jayam in the Mahabharata. That's the way to understand Mahabharata. And that is that same verse comes in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Narayanam namaskritya naram jayva naro tamam devim saraswadim vyasam tato jayamudhi rayed. Why it is Jayam that we have to ask that question, isn't it? Jayam, victory of what? When we recite that verse before we read Bhagavatam, without knowing what for we are reciting that, isn't it? We don't ask the question, why are we reciting this verse? Tado Jayam Udhirayat. Why Jayam? Where is the Jayam here? In Bhagavatam when you read Tado Jayam Udhirayat, of course the translation is there, but answer that. So, so that's what Krishna is saying here, that everything, if you think about it, you can see how things have come and gone in life. After a while, you will see each one of us, in each one of our mind, others will remain purely a few thoughts. That's all what will remain in us. If you look back in your own life, you can see many people who have come into your life and they've gone away. they remain as a few thoughts in your mind, isn't it? Chitta, nothing more than that. You don't even know anything else. So, after a while, they will remain as chittavritti, some thoughts inside us. That's all it is. So, that is how, if you think that we are this body. If you think that we are this body, then that is what it will be. But, if you think that we are this body, if you think that we are this body, the end of the life will also be like that. End of life will also be like that. If you think that you are this body, it's finished with the death. Then there is nothing after that. Sometimes it's very interesting. Some people, they have studied a lot of science and a lot of this technology whole life, and they got absorbed in that so much. And now they can't think anything outside science and technology. It comes to state like that. So sometimes when you talk to them, they say like this, body is like a machine. When the car runs out, petrol, and one day car after 20, 30 years, it is finished its life, it's gone. Similarly, the body also, they say. It's finished. When the body is finished, everything is finished. They say, you know, better to get a new car if you can. So, similar, they see it like that. They see it in that way. But, if you think that you are the body, everything is finished with the death. But, actually, body doesn't exist. That's what, from the Krishna's point of view, is body doesn't exist. Body is a false thing. It is a mithya. They call it mithya. In Vedantam, mithya means, it's a little different meaning. Mithya, why they say like that? Temporarily you feel it is existing. That's all. It's not permanent. Temporarily you feel it's existing. Actually, temporarily you experience the presence of the body. It is nothing but a flow. A thing is, something is flowing. So, what you experience during a flow, that is this body. Flow is going on. In that, sometimes you are experiencing something, and that is this body. That is this body. But in reality, it has no existence. That means completely from the spiritual point of view, from the platform of the soul, you are flowing as the soul in this existence, but temporarily something has come to you and gone away, and that is this body. That is this body. It is not easy to get out of our false identification with the body. It is not so easy. And that is why in Vedantam, all the time, they keep on repeating this message to us, how body is not what we are. We will talk that later when we come to that. So, you can also see this, that in reality, body is not a permanent thing. If you think you are this body, everything is finished with death. But if you accept the principle, what Krishna is saying is, that is why in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about the consciousness all the time. In all the earlier chapters, it's all about the soul. About the soul. And then he's saying that in that soul, sometimes body comes and body goes. One body comes, it goes. And then another body comes, it goes. But permanently what is always present is the soul, not the body. That is the most important thing. Even in this body, even when you are taking this body seriously, you can see that this body is also changing. Body is also changing. Scientists say some 7 years time or something, the body has changed. So by the time you are 65, 70 like that, 8 or 10 times the body has changed. 8 or 10 times the body has changed. Then, if it is changing like that, why do we not experience that change? That's the question. We don't know that, do we? If I have to know that I have changed, I have to look into the mirror. Otherwise, I won't know when the body is changing. But the body is continuously changing. Krishna is saying body is continuously changing. But I am not experiencing that change. Why? In Vedantam, all these topics are very important. Otherwise, you are not studying Bhagavad Gita. Simply studying Bhagavad Gita, reading words and translating purport and says, I have understood Bhagavad Gita. That's meaningless. Bhagavad Gita, if you don't go into the depth of it and seeing question after question, they are bringing up this understanding. Why am I not experiencing that change? Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehandara prapti dhiras tatra na mukhyadi. That's fine. We have to ask the question, if All these changes are happening inside. Why am I not experiencing that change? Isn't it? We'll come to that later. Why we are not experiencing the change? I'm not experiencing the change. Only if somebody tells me, oh Prabhu, you have changed a lot, they'll say. Sometimes. Or sometimes they say, oh, you look completely different. Somebody may tell you, like, I didn't know anything that I look different. Unless I look into the mirror, I can see this has started going gray. The teeth have started falling off. The hair has gone baldy. All these changes, only if I look into a mirror. If I don't look into the mirror, I won't know it's changing. What's changed? Nothing is changing. Every moment I'm thinking I'm the same. So the change is not happening in you. Change is happening in the body. That's the most important thing. Change is happening in the body, not in you. Bodham cannot change. Shariram has to change. This is the understanding. Shariram, body has to change. It has no choice. Why you are not experiencing? Because it's not happening in the bodham. In awareness, it's not happening. It's happening in the body. That's the reason. We have answer for everything, every question about the soul. Only thing is you have to study Bhagavad Gita deeply. Then you will know it. The answer is there. There is no doubts about these things. The sages, rishis have, they didn't waste their time trying to understand. But in subtle level they have done it. Without any laboratory or testing or any equipment. Just through their realizations they have come about with these truths. So what they are saying is that body will change. It is changing all the time. You will not know about it because you are not the body. That's the reason why you don't know this change is happening. You don't know this change is happening. So, if it is like that, if my body has changed, and if you are the body, if you have borrowed some £1,000 from someone, you don't have to pay it back again. Because the body which has borrowed the money is not there anymore. You should ask that body, you can tell him that. Don't ask me. I am a different person. Isn't it? Why we accept that? Why do we have to pay it back? So, this is all arguments will come. But only if you identify with the body strongly, you can do vyavaharam in this world. Because of that, we have to accept I am this body. Otherwise, I don't need to accept I am this body. In vyavaharam, they won't allow, because 99% is ignorance in this world, not knowledge. 99% we have to deal with in this world is with ignorance, not with knowledge, isn't it? As I mentioned before, society, samuhams, all these things is nothing but the products of ignorance. They are not products of knowledge. What we are trying to do is to take the whole society with us back to the spiritual world. It won't work. It cannot work. What will happen is they will pull you into their society. They won't even let you escape from here. That's what the society does. Everywhere it's the same thing. Spiritual life is not a social thing. It is an individual thing. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to you directly. Take advantage and escape from here. If you can, you could do it. If you can't, get busy with the society. It will say like that. So, the question is this. That so, therefore, that person who has borrowed the money, he has gone. He's not there anymore. And I'm not this body. Then question comes mind. What about the mind? Mind also, I'm not the mind either. Even if you say this 1,000 times, it's not enough. I'm not the mind. So, why I'm not this mind, which you know very well, that the same mind will tell you one thing today and tell you rest the opposite tomorrow. So you start thinking, why is this changes happening? That is where you apply that verse, that mind is asat. Because mind has this problem that it cannot keep you in one position at any time. Otherwise it's not the mind. If it doesn't move you every minute from one to another, it's not the mind. Only the mind can do it. And if you ask where is this mind, nobody knows where it is. It's there somewhere inside, giving you different ideas, different thoughts every moment and keeping you busy with that. That's what the mind does, isn't it? That is not the nature of awareness, nature of consciousness. It's not like that. So from there you can see that if somebody insults your body, let anybody insults your body, let him abuse you, Somebody asked this question, if somebody insults you, what should I do? To a great devotee, he asked this question. If somebody is insulting you, what should I do? He said. He said, you also join him and abuse your body. It's a very interesting story about this. Pakanar come from a very low class family. Low class means, when I mention this, when I say low class, when Varnashrama Dharma existed, there was a there was this caste separation, isn't it? So they had these people, and based on the profession, they were given certain position in the society. So Pakanar belonged to one of that. Pakanar was the son of Vararuchi. He had 12 sons. Pakanar was one of them. Pakanar was a realized soul. As I said, self-realization is not limited. Nobody's monopoly. It can happen anywhere in the world, in anyone. It can happen. And Pakanar is one of the best examples. Pakanar used to wander around. He used to make baskets with the bamboo. You know, bamboo, they cut it into pieces, and then they make these baskets, different kinds of baskets. In them days, a lot of baskets were used for paddy fields, in the wheat also, to dry the wheat. They'll make these huge things with the bamboo things. And that making them was his profession. He used to do that. And his family also used to do that. And they were very, very poor. They were very poor. Even if you make many baskets, they'll work the whole day, and the very late in the evening they'll take it to sell to some home, and they will buy but give them very low price. So there was not much of a income from that, and Pakanar and his family had to live on that. So Pakanar used to go around selling this, and he was not getting enough money to survive. So one day he was very hungry. Very hungry. Realized the soul, but body will show demands its own needs. You can't stop it. Hunger will be there. Realized soul doesn't mean there is no more hunger. It will also be there. Body is there demanding. And while walking through the streets, there was a fruit vendor. You know, they had these fruits were sold on a small mobile platform like thing. They keep it with four tires, and the people keep pushing them. You'll see them in Delhi and many places like that. There were a lot of fruits on that, and the fruit vendor was pushing this. He parked it somewhere, and he went for some purpose. He went to a shop or something. There was nobody there. Pakanar went there. He saw these fruits there. He thought himself, should I take it or not? Without asking anything. He had no money to buy. So shall I steal one or two fruits? Because he was feeling so hungry. He couldn't resist himself. He thought, come what may, let me take it, he said. He took the two fruits, and immediately he was caught. Somebody reported, and the fruit vendor came, and they all came and beat him up. They all beat him up. When they beat him up, he's saying to them, beat him very well, he says. Give him a little bit more. I've told him before not to do it. And still he has gone and done it, he says. About his own body, he's saying this. He says, give him a little bit more, he says. Let him learn a lesson, not to do it again. So what do you say? This is self-realization, doesn't happen overnight. In the processes, experiences of the realized souls are like that. So, similarly, he says, you have done me a great favor by beating him, made me aware that I am not that body, he says. Pakanar is saying to them, keep beating him, he will learn a lesson. Because actually what he was saying, when you keep beating him, I realize that I am not that. I am not that body. I am not that body. So somebody is insulting offensively or speaking to you in a harsh way, tell him, please repeat it again, so that get me out of this bodily identity. It is a mercy, Krishna's mercy that is. Krishna's mercy that is. Whereas we get very quickly affected by that, isn't it? We think that, oh, I've been offended, it's very offensive and all that. Actually, it is a good thing if somebody offends you. Somebody give you heavy punishment. At least at that moment, you can come to this understanding, I'm not this body. I'm not. Otherwise, how is it going to happen? It will never happen. The identification will get worse day by day with the body. So, So in order to firm it up, it helps. So then somehow or the other, the idea is the grip on this body must loosen up. We have to loosen up this grip on this body. And there is no other easy way to get release from that grip, from this grip of that. So when our false pride, identity with this body goes away, that is the only way it can happen. Therefore, does not mean that you don't have to bathe, you don't have to dress, but you have to look at this body simply as a vehicle, simply as a vehicle. Just like a car, automobile, you pour petrol, you clean the car and you keep it nicely. But if you start thinking this car is eternal, and if car is getting a little problems, you don't cry about that, do you? There's no meaning for that, because body is also like the car, only a vehicle. So that much importance only you should give it to the body, nothing more than that, because there is someone else inside that body, who we are. In the Upanishads, if you look, this Krishna has taken from the Upanishad. Kathopanishad says, Ashariram Sharireshu. That is the verse. Ashariram Sharireshu. Ashariram Sharireshu. Anavasteshu avastidam mahandam vibhu almanam matva dhiro nashochati. Matva dhiro nashochati. You will notice this nashochati, nakankshati, all Krishna uses in the Bhagavad Gita. Lot of it has come from Yamadharma Raja and Najigeda's conversation. When Yama, you know this story, don't you? Kathopanishad, how that story is. Kathopanishad, if you read, is one of the most important Upanishads, which is very much a background of Bhagavad Gita, is from there. There, Nachiketa, a young boy, goes to see Yama, asks the question, after death, what happens? Yama says, no, I won't tell you that. And Nachiketa won't leave him. And we have to discuss Kathopanishad on its own sometime, when we have time. There, ashariram sharireshu anavasteshu avasthidam mahannam vibhu atmanam matva dhiro nashochati. So that's where it's coming from. Krishna also says that. He says here that inside this body there is something which is not in touch with the body. It is inside the body, but it is not in touch with the body. Just like huge sky, you can see through some bubbles sometimes, isn't it? They will reflect through the bubbles. So it's like if you know, when the children blow out these soap bubbles, if you look through those bubbles, you can see the sky in that. In a similar way, so unlimited sky you can see in that small bubble. Similarly, in this little body, there is that very substance which is not in touch with the body, And that thing is always beating inside, keeping us aware of our own existence. I am existing. Aham asmi. Aham. In that tick, that's going on, is coming from that. So, we mentioned this also in the 7th canto of Bhagavadam. If you remember, there it was mentioned, between two thoughts, that comes up, that pops up, the awareness. So, in that gap, we can come to know about it, provided we give attention to that. The sages knew how to control their chittavritti so nicely that they could sense the presence of the soul between that. We are finding it difficult. Why? Because our chittavritti is so strong inside. We are so controlled by the mind that when one thought comes and it goes, and the next thought comes, we're not even aware of it, that this thought is gone and another thought has come. We're not even conscious of that. Because when this thought is gone, we got busy with the next thought. And when the next thought comes, we get so absorbed in that, by the time the third one comes, the second one is gone, we got busy with the third. That is the problem. That is the difficulty. That between two thoughts, there is a gap. Upanishads are saying this, Bhagavatam is saying this. Between two thoughts, Chittavritti, there is a gap. And if our Chittavritti level comes down, if there is perfect Shanti inside, it is possible to notice this gap between two thoughts where the presence of the soul is felt. How is it felt? That moves from one thought to another thought is done by the soul. Soul does that. At the moment, we don't know why it is happening, isn't it? We have no control on anything. We're just sitting here and talking about it. But think about it. Sometimes it's very interesting. You are thinking about, say, you're thinking about the work in the office or something like that while driving. Suddenly, something happened and your attention has gone to something else. Without anyone calling for it, your attention moved to something else. It happens, isn't it? And we start thinking that, oh, that's gone now. The next one will take over. So like this, we think about it. But when Chittavritti has come down, this is why Shastram is saying to bring the Chittavritti down. If Chittavritti comes down, Chittavritti means the thought flow inside. If it comes down, in a very finer level, one can observe this gap between two thoughts. And that's where it is understood. That's where it is we understood. That is where it comes. And that I am, which we are experiencing, it exhibits itself through that gap. And that is Krishna's presence inside us. Krishna's presence inside us. So, to know that, how they discuss that is, in the Dakshinamurti Stotram, it is a famous stotram where it says that Balyadishu Jagradavastha. Balyam, that means Balyadishu Jagradadishu Tatha Sarvasavastha Swapi Vyavrutva Swanu Vartamanam Ahamityandat Atyandas Purandam Sadam Swatmanam Pagadikarodi Bajadam Yobadraya Mudraya Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namaidam Shri Dakshinamurtaye. So here Balyadishwabi Jagradadishutada Sarvasavastha Swapi Balyam Balyadishwabi. Balyam means Balyam Kaumaram Yavanam Vardakim. Balyam Yavanam Vardakim generally. Balyam means childhood, Yavanam is youth, old age is Vardakim. All these three states, He is present there. What else? Tadha, sarva, swavastha, swapi. All the three states he is present. Which one? Jagrat, Sopnam, Sushupti. In all the three states, he is present. Vyavrutta sunu vartamana mahimatyatan atyandas purandam sadam. Not only that, in all our thoughts he is present in between. To understand the soul, we have to know like this. Otherwise, there is no way. It's not something you can prove it to you through an experiment. Only by deduction in this way, you have to understand the soul. Balyam, Yavanam, Vardakyam, soul is present. Jagrat, Sapnam, Sushupti, soul is present. Similarly, in all the mind, mental activities, which is the Chittam, thought process, there also, soul is present in between. So many avastha, it says avastha. Avastha means so many thoughts are coming one after the other. Everything that is changing, thoughts when they change, it's called vigaram. The word used is vigaram. Vigaram means anything that is subjected to change. But in all this vigaram, there is one thing which doesn't change. Aham idi andarspurandam, that is my awareness, isn't it? You can look at it yourself. That when all these changes are happening in my mind, I am standing behind and thinking, all these changes are happening in my mind. Is it not? You can experience yourself that you, the person who is experiencing, is not changing. Because you are not changing, you are able to notice the changes that is happening in the mind. Is it not? Think about it. That because you are not changing, therefore you are able to notice the changes that's happening in the mind. Thoughts coming, going, So many thoughts are coming. In a day, how many thoughts would have come and gone by the time you woke up and you went to bed? Unlimited, isn't it? But you are able to say this to someone that, oh, I had this thought in my mind. You say like that. I thought about it in my mind. And then it's gone and something else has come. But who is that I saying to you that I had it? That is where you have to catch him. That's where you will find him. That is you. That is you. That is what it's saying. Balyadishu, balyadishu, balyadishu abhijagradadishu tatha sarvasavastha suapi vyavarta sunu vartamana mahimatyandas purandam sada. And he's there all the time. There's no time you can get it off him. Who will report to you all the time what's happening in all the three states? What's happening? Swatmanam pragati karodi. Swatmanam pragati. He will come up and show himself up to you that, well, I am here always. And that is when you notice him. He is telling you and he is reporting back to you. Pragati karodi bhajadam yo bhadraya mudraya. And that is spirit soul. That is the presence of Krishna inside. Andarspurandam prakati kritobi. Because why it is so surprising? What is so surprising about it? Because that is Krishna. That is Krishna. If you don't understand Krishna in this way, simply see the form and saying everything is wonderful, fantastic, after a while it will go. It won't last. Krishna is different. Krishna is present in this world in us and making us aware of his presence to us in different ways. If you don't take notice of all that, it is not possible to develop in a spiritual level. It is very, very difficult. So Krishna says, don't inquire about Krishna in a very looking into Himalayas and going here and Vrindavanam and everywhere. No, right now he is here inside you, showing his presence there. So, so you will see, we went to this temple in Chidambaram, if you remember. A famous big temple, Chidambaram, there where Lord Shiva dances with one leg over the other, with four hands in the air. Chidambaram dance, famous it is. Then, that dancing of Chidambaram, which is mentioned that you take it in any form, it doesn't matter, the Shiva form, Vishnu's form, whatever it is. So, there, that dance is actually a representation of this aham aham inside us. That the presence of Krishna inside us, it is that dance that is represented there. So, so normally it is like this. The first thing that in order to understand Krishna, all the pastimes and everything is only a step towards that, to understand Krishna. So, first of all, to know about Krishna, you start with the deities. After deity, first of all, you need a form to start with somewhere, isn't it? Otherwise, it's very difficult to come to. And suppose every time when you introduce, how do you introduce someone to somebody else? Oh, here it is, so and so. You introduce like that. So that way, Krishna is introduced to us through the deity first. Deity is the first introduction towards that. After deity worship, when we got a little bit used to that worship in that deity form, it goes on to the next step where you start hearing about that person whose deity you are worshipping. That is the katha. What it develops into the hearing about that personality, that develops into katha. So, Parikshit Maharaj also, if you look into that flow of Bhagavatam, you will notice this. Parikshit Maharaj in the 10th canto told Sudeva Goswami, talk to me about Krishna katha, he says. Immediately Sudeva Goswami asked him, what do you understand about Krishna? Who is Krishna, he said, isn't it? So, up to this time, you have told us so many stories, he says. Parikshit says to Sudeva Goswami, you have given me so many stories for last few days. So, Sudeva Goswami asked Parikshit, do you know who Krishna is? That was the question straight away, isn't it? The Bhagavatam. These are the subtle side of the Bhagavatam which makes it more interesting. Otherwise, simply to read, Krishna said this to, Sudeva Goswami said this to Parikshit. If you just take it like that and you don't ask any question, why has it been spoken like this? Why Sudeva Goswami was insisting this question to Parikshit? Do you understand what Krishna means? He said. So, there is a reason why a a way it is laid out in the Bhagavatam. For this reason only. A lot of things were spoken. Creation was spoken. Then the planetary systems in the fifth canto were spoken. So many things were spoken. Mahabharata war was spoken to some extent. In the. And Brahmanarada Samvadam was spoken about the creation. It's all about creation in the beginning, isn't it? Sargam. Third canto is Sargam. Fourth canto is Visargam. Creation, primary creation, secondary creation. Third and fourth canto gone like that. Fifth canto is about the whole creation, what has been created. Because that's where the Panchamaskandam is all about the Jyotish Chakram and the universe, isn't it? Jambudvipam, Milavrata Varsham, Kim Varsham, Kimburusha Varsham, Hari Varsham. All that you see in the fifth canto. So, Sargam, Visargam, Sthanam. Sargam is third canto, creation process. And you wonder, a man who is leaving his body in 7 days, how does it help him to understand this creation? What is going to do for him? Suppose I've heard creation, all creation, and I'm just leaving the body in a couple of days' time. What's creation going to do? What will it help me? Because that, whatever I've heard, will go as soon as the body is gone. Isn't it? So why does it happen then? Sudeva Goswami told Parikshit, this realization is not a big thing actually. But because you got 7 days time, I have to fill the gap. That's why I'm saying all these things to you. Indirectly, that's all it meant. Creation was spoken, then that too, primary creation and secondary creation. Will I be interested if I'm dying about the primary creation or the secondary creation? Do you know what it means? Primary creation means the first creation from the truth, that Brahman, how the Mahatattvam came, and then the Ahamdattvam came, from Ahamdattvam, Maya, and the three modes of material nature, and from them, Satvyahangaram, Rajasahangaram, Tamasahangaram, then the mind, senses, intelligence, all these kind of things, these are all the primary creation. Secondary creation is, from Brahma, how the Prajapatis came, and from Prajapati, their expansions into Mariji, Aritri, Angiras, Pulastya, Pulaha, Kradu, Bhrigu, Vasishta, Dakshasya, Dashamatatra, Narada. The 10 Prajapatis and through Prajapatis, how all the living entities has come, that's the secondary creation. So, whole of third canto is the primary creation, and the fourth canto is the secondary creation. And the fifth canto is all about the what you see in this creation. What you see in this creation, that's the fifth canto. And sixth canto is about Ajamila story mainly, and stories of few devotees who had gone through their spiritual experiences. Ajamila, Chitragedu, Vritrasura, you find in that sixth canto, isn't it? You'll also notice in the fourth canto about the Sri Parvati's relationship with Lord Shiva, all that, Daksha Prajapati story. Prajapati story basically creation story it is, isn't it? Daksha Prajapati is the main creator in there. So, all those things are there. And Sudeva Goswami is saying all these things to Parikshit. But when it came to 10th canto, Parikshit said, I've heard all this enough now. I want to hear something about Krishna, he says. I want to hear about Krishna, he says. I have heard enough. And the whole of 9th canto, what is it? 9th canto is all about history of all the kings who ruled, one after the other. Hundreds of kings who came, ruled this planet, and they left. Ruled this planet, they left. And a lot of them, if you read that 9th canto, it's a very interesting canto, this 9th canto. There, it's like a railway train going on a track. His son, this son. It goes like that. Like in the verses, if you read, you'll get that experience. So, all of 9th canto is a story like this. Now, if you look into the list of those kings, you will wonder, will Parikshit be able to remember all these kings? Even if he wants to, he won't be able to. Himself will say that later. So, I can't remember all this. So many names. Whole 3-4 thousand years, I don't know how many millions of years, whole solar dynasty, lunar dynasty, the prominent kings, all Sudeva Goswami has given him there, the list. And you start thinking, a man who is dying, what does he need this list for? What's he going to do with this list? So, again, all this in the background, similarly, if you look at the 8th canto, 7th canto, all you will find It is not so much in relationship with the truth that is spoken. Truth is not touched yet. What you find there is a life of devotees. Prahlada, Chitrakedu, Vritrasura, and many others, Ajamila, and all others. How through bhakti they reach that state of self-realization. That is what it is indicating. Parikshit is not satisfied yet. Parikshit is saying, I want to know that person with whom they were all trying to get release from this bondage. That's what he was saying there. That's the 10th canto's importance. So when he came to 10th canto, so he says to him, Krishna Katha, I want to hear Krishna Katha. So Sudev Goswami asking him, Pidamahame, that is where the interesting part of the Bhagavadam, that if you look into the 10th canto, you will see in the first chapter itself, what he said was, that if you look into the first canto, in the first chapter, you will see, Pidamahame samare maranjaye devavradadhyadiradhai stimingalaihi duratyayam kaurava sainyasajaram krutvadaran valsabadam smayad plavaha. That is where this question was answered. Which question? When Sudeva Goswami asked Parikshit, which Krishna are you talking about? Parikshit's answer was this. What was that? Pidamahame samare maranjaye devavradadhyadiradhaistimingalai. My grandparents, Pidamaha, my grandparents, referring to Arjuna and Yudhishthira and others, all of them, they were finding it very difficult to fight the battle. Why? Because there were the big whales in the battlefield, like Bhishma and others, whom they could never beat, never conquer. And Duryodhana's army, most powerful army at that time, it was very difficult to cross over that. Duratteyam Kaurava Sainyasagaram. Kaurava, the Sainyasagaram. Sainyasagaram means the ocean of that. Such a big, powerful army, very difficult to get through, beat them. Krutvadaran valsabadam smayat plavaha. But by whose grace, Parikshit says to Krishna, by whose grace my grandparents managed to cross that ocean of that huge army of Duryodhana, exactly like the way you cross the water in the small hoof, hole that's created in the earth by a calf, a small ditch in which some water is there, how easily you can cross over. In the same way, they crossed over Duryodhana's army. By whose mercy? About that Krishna, you tell me. Who said this? Parikshit said this to Sudeva Goswami. Parikshit said that. Sudeva Goswami was not happy with that answer. You can see that. Bhagavatam, if you read, you will notice this. Sudeva Goswami was not happy with that answer. He doesn't want to understand Krishna in that way. That is how. It is like this. You understand Krishna from the deity worship level in one way. But if you stay in that level, what can be done? You can't do anything about it. That is what's happening. That is what's happening here also. That Krishna to be understood as Krishna. What is Krishna? So Sudeva Goswami was not happy. Parikshit sensed that. Immediately he says, Dravnyastra viplushtamidam vadangam sandana bijam kuru pandavanam jugova kutshim gadam atajakro madushchame yasharanam gadaya. Sensing that he was not happy, immediately he put the next understanding. What was that? Dravnyastra viplushtamidam vadangam. How while he was in the womb of Uttaradevi, his mother, Drauni is Ashwatthama, Drona's son. Drauni sent this Brahmastram to kill him, isn't it? And wanted to wipe out the Pandavas, even the slightest seed from this earth. So while doing that, Dravnyastra viplushtamidam madangam sandana bijam kuru pandavanam. Kuru and the Pandava, nobody should be left in this world. Should be completely wiped out. This whole race must go from here. And deciding that, our Ashwatthama sent Brahmastram to Parikshit. And Jugoba Kutshim Gadam Atachakram. And Jugoba Kutshim Gadam Atachakram Adushchame Sharanam Gadaya. Sharanam Gadaya. So I was burning inside. He entered inside my mother's womb, Uttaradevi. Got inside and protected me. Talked to me about that personality whom I saw inside with his Sudarshanam disc running around me, protecting me. Krishna has taken this size and gone inside with the disc in the hand. And when Brahmastram was trying to hit Parikshit, in Uttaradevi's womb inside, this was going on. Krishna was carrying the Sudarshanam and was running around, not allowing the Brahmastram to touch Parikshit. Parikshit was protected like that. So Parikshit says to Sukadeva Goswami, I want to hear about that personality who protected me. Thinking that, that's the answer Sukadeva Goswami was expecting. But Sukadeva Goswami says no. Sukadeva Goswami don't want to present Krishna in that way. Then he asked him the next question. Then Parikshit understood that this is not the answer he is looking for. Therefore he says, Viryani tasya akhila deha bhajam andarbahi purushakala rupaihim prayachado mrutyamrudamrudam cha maya manushyasya vadasavidvan. That was the answer he was looking for. What is that? Viryani tasya akhila deha bhajam andarbahi purushakala rupaihim. Krishna is present everywhere. Where is the place where he is not present? Inside Amrutam, andar bahi, inside and outside. Inside as Purusha, outside as Kalam, says there. Parikshit is answered properly. Andar bahi, Purusha kalaru bahi, prayachado mrutyu amrutam cham. If you take note of that Kalam, time outside, what is waiting for you is death. If you take notice of the Purusha inside, the life is amrutam, it is nectar. That is the difference. That is why, to stress the point, that take note of Krishna inside. Don't ignore that. That is the point he is stressing there. Prayaccha mrutyum mrda amrdam cha maya manushyasya vadasavidvan. Who is present in every one of us, in every living entity inside, who is present there, but maya manushyasya vadasavidvan, outside in the form of, with the help of maya, he is present outside as well. And saying this, then talk to me about that person, says Parikshit. Talk to me about that person, says Parikshit. So that is how Parikshit had to answer in that way, so that he will not. So when to Abhimanyu, you will see that when the Parikshit had every reason to say like this. Reason was, Parikshit has not forgotten that while he was in the womb of mother, Uttaradevi, when Uttaradevi surrendered to Krishna, when Krishna protected Parikshit, Pahi Bahi Mahayogin, Deva Deva Jagatpade, Nanyantva Dhabayam Pashil, Yatra Mrityu Parasparam. So Uttaradevi went and fallen into Krishna's feet. And at that point itself, you could see there that Uttara, first instance itself, called Mahayogi, Krishna, isn't it? Uttaradevi, where did she get this from? What gave this intelligence to Uttara like this? Some commentators are saying, Uttara learned this from Draupadi. How? Draupadi had experience in Dwaraka before, isn't it? Draupadi, first of all, said Dwaraka Vasin and all called when she was disrobed, isn't it, at that time. Only when Krishna Krishna Mahayogin Vishwalpan Vishwabhavana, when Draupadi also, exactly like the way Parikshit did this mistake, Draupadi made the same mistake. But from Draupadi's mistake, Uttaradevi learned. You cannot address Krishna simply in terms of Dwaraka Vasin, or simply a personality standing in front of you like anybody else, because he is Vishwalpman. He is the soul of the whole creation. Vishwabhavana, you can't imagine anything outside him. Only when it is present in Krishna in that way, Krishna accepts that call, because he is the one who is present everywhere. This lesson from Draupadi, Uttara has learned. Therefore, Uttara was able to address Krishna straight away as Mahayogi. Pahi pahi mahayogin deva deva jagalpade nanyan twadhavayam pashel yatra mrtyu parasparam. So, so Uttara did not try to make an experiment like Draupadi. Draupadi made an experiment. First thought calling from Dwaraka, Krishna will come. Where is the question of calling from Dwaraka, one who is present everywhere in this world creation? How can you say that he is only present in Dwaraka? How can you say he is only present in Vrindavanam or elsewhere? He is present everywhere. There is no place where he is not present. In fact, everything is present in him. Not that he is present everywhere. Everything is present in him. That is his position. So, she went one foot further, paid her obeisances and told Krishna that Mahayogin, Mahayogi he is. So, it is... Yatra, now, there, our Uttaradevi knew very well, there were people like Yudhishthira and Bhima and Arjuna, they were present there. Never looked at them even, Uttara. Uttara, straight away Uttaradevi says to Krishna that Yatra Mrityu Parasparam. What's the difference between me and them, Uttara says. There's not much they can do. They are also going to die one day. As much as I am going to die. The only person who can free myself from this death is only yourself. And that is how she saw that. Therefore, they also could not escape from the death. So, it is at that point, Krishna entered into Uttara's womb and protected Parikshit. So, there he has shown himself to Parikshit in the womb. So, there Parikshit has seen Krishna. Parikshit has seen Krishna. You know very well that how Parikshit got that name. Because he was looking for that form later. Wherever he was, whenever he sees someone, he was looking, is this the form I have seen inside the womb? So, is this the same person I have seen? So, therefore the name Parikshit has come. So, that means he has met the person before. Therefore, Parikshit's mood was, I know the person very well. I want to talk about him, he said. Parikshit says, that second verse, Dranyastra Viplushta Vidam Vadangam. That's what is happening. So, Madhuschameya Sharanam Gadayam. So, to him, my mother has gone and taken shelter. This was Parikshit's point. Parikshit is saying that my mother has gone and taken shelter of him who has protected me inside the womb. So, because mother has surrendered, the son had the good fortune of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the beauty. You see? Beauty. So, in other words, only when the mother surrenders, the child will get the opportunity for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So, so Sukadeva Goswami, in spite of that, was not satisfied. By now, 4 days have gone. Out of the 7 days, 4 days have gone. So, and here you can see, still Parikshit is saying to Sukadeva Goswami, only in terms of Krishna, that he is just that murti who was standing there. He's not seeing Krishna's real, real form. What is that form? Sachidananda Swarupam. Satya Chitta Anandam presence in everywhere, all times. That is why you see in the Bhagavatam, when you read two important prayers in the Bhagavatam. One, the prayers from Vasudev to Krishna. And the other one, I think is in the Bali Maharaj prayers, I think. They use this word, Kevalanu Bhavanandam. Kevalanu Bhavanandam. They use that word. Kevalanu Bhavanandam. They calls Krishna in that way. Kevalanu Bhavanandam. Pure bliss is Krishna. They are not referring to Krishna simply as a person standing there. Kevala Anubhavam Anandam. Pure experience. Experience is the word used there of bliss. Pure experience of the bliss. Anubhava Anandam means experience of the bliss. That means only spirit soul can have that. Nothing else. In other words, at that point, Vasudev, Mahabali, and also there is one or two devotees more, in the Bhagavatam uses this particular word while glorifying Krishna. Kevala Anubhava Anandam. Because if you don't connect Krishna with the soul, it doesn't make much sense. If you study Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, it doesn't matter. If you don't link Krishna with the soul and keep Krishna seeing us like another person in this world, it's not going to make it spiritual. It is spiritual because Krishna is that soul. That is the most important thing. That's why when they address Krishna there, they say Kevala Anubhava Anandam, they call it. Kevala Anubhava Anandam. Pure experience of the bliss. That's if you translate that into English. Kevala Anubhava Anandam means pure experience of the bliss. That's how they address Krishna. Vasudev does that, Mahabali does that, and there is one or two devotees more, you will see that word used directly to Krishna, to address Krishna in this way. Why? Because this connection as the soul and Krishna is so close. It is Krishna who is inside us, presence as the soul. There is no, soul is the most important thing. Self-realization is nothing but that, isn't it? So, here, again, what happened was, when Parikshit said he came and protected me in the womb, Sukadeva Goswami, because Sukadeva Goswami wanted this answer in relationship with the soul as Krishna. So, all this is ordinary bhakti. Ordinary bhakti. Everybody has this kind of bhakti. Sometimes we say, oh, my grandfather used to worship Krishna, I used to go with him to the temple, or grandmother took me to the temple. This is one level of bhakti, ordinary bhakti. We go to the temple, we see the deity, we worship him because we join the congregation, whoever present there, and make some offerings to Krishna. This is all based on that understanding. Parikshit, Sukadeva Goswami didn't want that. That is why he was looking for the proper answer. This is all in a general level. General level. Not that that's all wrong, but it is only in that level. That's what it is. Not that it is wrong. It is correct, but it is only in that level. Now, Parikshit is leaving the body. You can't keep talking to him about deity worship now. He wants the real thing inside him. He wants to get the message through to him, what he is, his connection with Krishna. That should be given to Parikshit now. At this point in time, talking about deity worship, talking about the other things, what happened in this world won't help. His pure spiritual self, soul, self-realization must happen to Parikshit now. That's why Sukadeva Goswami, without accepting any of those answers, he was looking for the right, correct answer in relationship with the soul, what is Krishna. That is why that verse is important. Viryani tasya agila logabhajam andarbahi purushakala rupaihi prayascha matyu mrdam mrdam cha maya manushyasya vadasa vidvan. That is the perfect answer about Krishna, what Krishna is. So here, so you can see here, Sukadeva Goswami asked, what is your knowledge of Krishna? He says, and he says, I know who is Krishna, and he gave that answer. Parikshit is saying here, I will explain the form of Krishna, he says there. What is that form? He didn't say, he's a person with the peacock feather, he's a person with the forest garland, who is wearing the yellow garment, who is wearing the Kaustubham, who is wearing the all like the way normally we will present Krishna in that way. Parikshit didn't do that. Instead, what did he do? Prayachado mutyamudamradam cha maya manushyasya vadasya vidvan. That was the answer. Then, time personified, he is outside. Inside, he is present as the soul. And if you get attracted to this time personified form of Krishna, death will catch you. That's how he puts it. If you get busy with this time personified form of Krishna, which is time outside, prayachado mrityum radam radam cha. So, andarbahi purusha kala rupai, he said, isn't it? Purusha and kalam. Kalam is time. If you get absorbed in this time, what will happen? Mrityu will happen to you. Mrityu will happen to you. If you get absorbed in the Purusha inside, the soul, what will happen to you? Nectar will happen to you. Amrutam. That is the difference, he said. If you get absorbed in the time, if you get absorbed in the kalam, time, which is Krishna's external manifestation, if you get absorbed in that, what is waiting for you is death. If you get absorbed inside you as the soul, in that if you get absorbed, you experience immortality. Immortality, no death after that. That's what it says here. So, if your mind go inwards, it is nectar. which means there is no death there. Atmaswarupam, the soul. Atmaswarupam, the soul. Purusha, externally it is time. Externally it is time. Why are we saying all these things? This universal form is nothing but doing the same thing here. When Arjuna saw all these things coming and happening, it was the only intention was to take attention of Arjuna from the world to inside towards the soul. Towards the soul. Otherwise it won't work. In certain times in life, you need certain experiences to get your attention inwards. Otherwise it won't happen. You will be busy with the world. If everything is wonderful, that is Maya's power. Maya can keep you very busy in this world from beginning to end. So unless something happens in life, you will not look inwards. It's a very most difficult thing to turn someone's the attention from the world to the soul. It's the most difficult thing. And because Maya is so expert in keeping us occupied, all these things. So a stage has come now for Arjuna. Arjuna has heard about the soul. In the beginning, Brahma Vidya was spoken. As a last resort, Krishna has put Arjuna on the spot and showed the universal form. After seeing that, Arjuna's attention went inwards. Genuine inquiry for the truth started at that point. Genuinely, he started inquiring. That you will see at the end of this chapter, how it comes and how from this universal form, Krishna moves straight to Bhakti Yogam process. That is why Bhakti Yogam is important. Bhakti Yogam is not something that you can just do a few rituals and not understanding Krishna's message. Message is more important. He says here that if your attention goes inwards, then it is nectar. Isn't it? Prayachado mrityu mrudam mrudam cha maya manushyasya vadasa vidvan. That maya manushyan Krishna, who is playing with maya in this way, there in the Bhagavadam, maya manushyasya vadasa vidvan. He uses the same maya and uses to keep our attention outside. And if we want to know him, you have to come out of this maya and go inside looking for him, then you will find him. And that is why this inward looking nature is not very easy to develop. It takes unless you are hit very heavily, that attention won't go. You will still think, ah, it's not too bad outside. After all, at the end, this is the difficulty. So Parishad says both things. Parishad is saying here. He's saying both, inside, outside, both. So, now Krishna is showing to Arjuna this Kala Rupam, the external side. That's what he's showing here. Andarbahi Purusha Kala Rupai, isn't it? Purusham is inside, Kalam is outside. That Kala Rupam is what Krishna is showing through universal form to Arjuna. That is why it is so important. So, as long as you are busy, so, one who has seen this Kala Rupam, this form, for him, the mind which has shown this Kala Rupam, what will make him to go inwards looking, inward looking? As long as you are get attracted by this form outside, as you are attracted by the time, there will be duality inside. There will be duality inside. So, here what Krishna is showing to Arjuna is not knowledge of the soul, not about self-realization, but a very frightening thing, this universal form, a very frightening thing. Because when he saw that frightening vision of the universal form, mind started slowly moving, looking inwards. Only then have you noticed? Arjuna is asking Krishna, who are you? As though he has not seen him before. It is unless he has seen this form, he wouldn't have asked that question. That's why if you look into the verses from now on, you will notice it's a list of apology to Krishna. I didn't know who you were, he says. The person who, like a friend, together they lived so long, and now suddenly he's saying to Krishna, I don't know who you were, he says. I didn't know who you were. Why? Only now Arjuna started inward looking. Up to this time, it was all outside. Oh, he was my old friend. Vihara Shayasana Bhojaneshu, he says, we ate together, we slept in the same room, and we played together. Vihara Shayasana Bhojaneshu, all sorts of things he says there. And the same Arjuna is saying, asking Krishna, who are you? That is the same question we also have to ask. Till that time, we have to keep on seeing a lot of universal forms in this world. Then our universal form comes in different form of distress. That is our universal form. Krishna is sending a universal form to us to frighten us and give us some distress in some form, some heavy distress when it comes in life. You start thinking, realizing that this game must stop outside. There is no point in continuing this game with material life. It will not get anywhere. And if you are fortunate, Krishna will give you quite a few heavy doses. If you get it, you will become inward looking. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. That is why we say again and again, distress is what leads one to spiritual life. Isn't it? Kashtade srishti jeshta bahudara bhava khedaha jiva baja ityevam purvamalojitam ajitamaya naiva madhyabhijane. When you see the distress of all the living entities in this world, kashtade srishti jeshta, we ask the question, why have you created? Devotee asks Krishna, why are you creating all this and they are suffering here? Krishna is saying, let them suffer so they will start inquiring after me, who I am. Looks a little bit heavy, isn't it? But that is how it is. Kashtade srishti jeshta bahudara khedaha jiva bhaja. Various kinds of distresses for all living entities Krishna is giving to us. And when distress, every devotee, if you look into, when I'm talking about genuine devotees, you will see they walk through the fire in their life. Broken family, complete absolute poverty, and all, everyone completely left them. No relations, friends, society, all gone from them. And it is in that stage that they have started really experiencing Krishna. Otherwise not. You can do so many other things, institutions you can make and break. That doesn't matter. Anything. It's not going to help very much. What's it going to do? But here, spiritual life is very personal thing. It is our individual thing. Surrender. And from surrender and realization, our spiritual life has to develop. It cannot be injected into you like a jab. It cannot be given. It's unfortunately, it is like that. So that is the point here. He's also saying the same thing here, that frightening it was. This universal form was frightening to Arjuna. And Arjuna saw that. Because if he was not frightened, Arjuna will keep himself busy with the world outside. And Krishna knows about that. So in order that the mind go inward looking, there is a thing called a distress in this world. This is called distress in this world. So only if you experience this frightening things in this world. Frightening cannot, need not be in the form like that. So there are so many things which frightens us, isn't it? Your own health frightens you sometime. Is it not? The body will frighten you one day. The very body which you are identifying with all the time will frighten you one day. Frighten how? It will frighten you that you can't do anything. You are lying there and you can't do anything about it. And body is frightening you at that time, isn't it? Krishna says that in the Bhagavadam. Isn't it? Remember that in the 14th chapter, 11th canto, Krishna says, who will make any contact with this body which is frightening you every moment? It is frightening you. Is it not? So, body can frighten you. Then some other terrible experiences in life can frighten you. I know some people who have told me that during the World War II, how some things what happened in certain places have frightened them for life. They don't want to come back here anymore after that. They said such experiences they had. If you get some experiences, especially in the war, when you see certain things happening, many genuine people who search for spiritual life, they came from the war field. They came from the war field because they had seen the cruelty of this creation. We have not seen it, so we don't know that. We know only the sweet things, sweet rice and the feast. That's what we have got used to. But they didn't get used to the feast. They got used to this kind of things and they know what it means, what misery means that they've experienced. And they have, because when they inquire about spiritual life, they're genuine. Because it's from, they got frightened inside and inquiry started properly. We are thinking all these other things are important, isn't it? Parampara, initiation, shastram and all that. Nothing will work compared to as powerful as this. This is the most direct way of shifting our attention to the soul. There's no other process. So, therefore, in life also, most of the devotees, when they had such distress, they used that distress to take their attention towards the soul. That's what they have done. That's what has happened. That is why Kunti Devi is saying in the Bhagavatam, what does she say? What is that verse? Eh? What is that verse? What she says? Can't remember. Also lost it. Continuously give me distress, she says. Isn't it? And people are reading that verse and thinking, why is she asking for distress? Can she ask something better than that? Vibhadasanduna shashwal tatra tatra jagal guru bhavado darshanam In one verse, Kunti Devi summarized this whole philosophy very nicely. You see that? In one verse, Vibhadasandodashashwal Tatradatrajagal Guru Bhavadodarshanam Yasyal Apunarabhavadarshanam. That is how it is. Continuously she says to Krishna, keep on giving me distress. Why? If you give me distress, Bhavado darshanam, I will go and search the truth inside. Apunar bhava darshanam, if I do that, what will happen to me? I will realize the truth. Purusha kala, purusha realization will happen. Which means what? Apunar bhava darshanam, I don't have to take birth again. So, in this philosophy, in Kunti Devi's prayer, when it came in that verse form. Normally, devotees read that verse and then they say to Krishna, well, you can give distress to Kunti Devi, don't give it to me. That means they have not understood that verse properly. Is it not? We say like that, we read that verse, Kunti Devi's verse, and says, Kunti Devi, what does she know? She, after all, she is meant to suffer, let her suffer. I don't want to suffer. Let me enjoy. So Krishna, you give me all the material opulences and good life, position, nice family life and society, social life, everything. And then let me be a devotee as well, your devotee. So Krishna says, yeah, you can have that also. But then only thing, I can't give you the other one. But Kunti Devi is saying that what I want is that distress. Why? Distress will take me inward, genuinely looking for the truth. So, if you, she knows very well exactly what Parikshit is saying here, that if you get absorbed in the world outside, Kala Rupam, you will get absorbed in that. Andar Bahi, inside, outside. Purusha Kala Rupaihim. So, if you give me happiness, I will leave Krishna and go away. I won't inquire after Krishna. This is the principle of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the principle of Srimad Bhagavatam. You can't say anything against it. Bhagavatam's principle is this. From distress, you become a devotee. You become a devotee. So whoever Krishna is blessing someone, the way Krishna blesses is by giving him devotee. He will keep on giving distress over distress. Sometimes when you see some people suffering in this world, you only think you think at that time, oh, at least I'm not having it. That's how you feel. But actually we do not know. We do not know. That many devotees, from such heavy distress, they became the first class devotees, pure devotees, they came out from that. Best example, Srila Prabhupada himself. You won't know that. People think, does not understand what he walked through in life. Yeah? We don't take note of all that thing. We only, Prabhupada had a plan. Astrologer said, you'll go to America and you will do this, you will do that. Today, that's how people are presenting. About Prabhupada. They don't see that, what fire he had to walk through. That is why if you had come to Krishna through this fire, nothing will disturb you afterwards. You won't be attracted by anything in this world because you have seen the truth. The truth of this world. That's what it is. So, so Krishna will give that distress to someone, and when that distress comes, one realizes the world is temporary and world is misery only. And after knowing that, you will start inquiring of the truth. Truth means permanent thing, sat. Up to that time, you are busy with the asat. Busy with the asat. Only when asat gives you enough pain, you will start inquiry of the sat. Because sat is the only truth, asat is not truth, Krishna says there, isn't it? But if you keep on getting happiness in this world, who will inquire about Krishna? You may go on a Janmashtami day and stand up and queue in there, and you'll say to others, oh, I've been to temple, I've seen on Janmashtami day, I had the feast there, and a little bit of books I purchased, enjoyed the kirtan and a few festival programs in the stage and all that kind of things. You may say all that to others and you feel satisfied within yourself. That's okay. But serious spiritual life is this. What Parikshit is talking about here, Kunti Devi is talking about here. So, even if you have a slightest happiness in this world, from the happiness of this world, mind will not completely go inwards. Mind will not come. Only when you know that there is distress here, it's only distress in this world, you will go inward looking for the truth. Somebody asked, how can you control the mind like this? So, the answer to that is in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look in the 6th chapter, how to control the mind. These are important because philosophically, let's look at it. If we look to the 6th chapter, verse 26.
Yato yato nischaladi manaschanchalam astiram tadastado niyam meidat atmanyeva vasham nayed.
Have you thought about this verse?
Yato yato nischaladi manaschanchalam astiram tadastado niyam meidat atmanyeva vasham nayed. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self.
Under the control of the self.
Atmanyeva vasham nayed.
That's how Krishna is saying there. That he should go back to the soul. Mind should go back to the soul. There is no other way.
Yado yado nischaladi manas chanchalam astiram. Manasa, mind is chanchalam and astiram. And tadastado niyam meidat. Atmanyeva vasham nayed.
There is no other alternative to that. That is what Krishna is saying there.
Atmanyeva vasham nayed. So, whenever the mind is going out, you have to bring him back.
You have to bring him back.
And get attached to the soul.
Get attached to the soul. That is why in Satsangam, we have only one topic to discuss. That is the soul. We have nothing to discuss about the body.
It is our topic is always the soul. Nothing about the body.
Why? Somehow or the other, if we can get our little attention towards the soul, it will stay there for some time. Afterwards, it will come back again to the body. But if you keep on doing it for a long period of time, this grip by the body will loosen up and grip on the soul will get tightened. That is the process. There is no other way of doing that. Grip on the body is strong at the moment, but grip on the soul is very loose. This will change by keep on hearing. That is the Shravanam process. So, for that, what do we have to do? We have to give some food whereby the soul will find some taste there in the soul. Is it not? Example is given like this. In the villages, I mentioned this before also, they have these cows at home. These cows, when you allowed after the milking in the morning, you let them go to graze. What they'll do? They'll go to neighbor's garden and eat everything in their garden and stand there. He doesn't know yours or neighbor's and all that. Cow doesn't know anything. cow goes and eats everything. And then there will be always fight between the neighbors. That neighbor will be planting some nice fruits or vegetables or anything, and it's all the food for this cow. Cow doesn't know, poor cow. So this will always end up in problems. So how can you stop this from the cow going to others' garden? The best way to do that is, if you give sufficient food in the cow shed for the cow, as good as what it gets outside in others' garden. If you give sufficient food here, as good as what he can get in others' garden, after a while the cow will realize, I don't have to go there, everything is here, and he'll start enjoying eating here itself. But it has to get that food here. Similarly, in spiritual life also, as much as you are getting this spiritual understanding of the soul, self-realization from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, attraction for the world, the body will go. It has to leave you. It cannot get attraction anymore. It has to come back to the spiritual life. It has to come back to spiritual life. That is the process. There's no other. So here, as I mentioned before, that the purpose of this universal form was to frighten Arjuna. Just like we get frightened with various things, separation from close friends, separation from family members, illnesses in the body, various ways, material distress can come in any way. Suddenly a healthy body goes very ill, paralysis or cancer or whatever that comes, it's a strong reminder, the very nature of this body. So body is doing a favor to us to attain our attention towards inside the soul. We'll continue at 4 o'clock. So, as we were discussing before, as and when any distress comes in life, we should utilize that distress and turn the mind inward. Turn the mind inward looking. That's an opportunity Krishna is giving to us. That otherwise all this distress and happiness is no meaning in this world. From the spiritual point of view, distress and happiness is practically no meaning, because from the spiritual platform, who is experiencing happiness and who is experiencing distress is the jiva. Jiva is nothing but the false ego. That is what the jiva is. Earlier, if you look into the second chapter, while studying Bhagavad Gita, all these things you have to take very serious note of it. Krishna mentions there that the same soul which he says there, what does he say? He says, Vasamse jirnai yatha vihaya navani grhnadi naroparani tatha sharirani vihaya jirna anyadi samyadi navani dehi. So, there dehi, he says, the soul, it is the, while referring to the false ego, which is going through all these, a transmigration of the body and experience of happiness, distress, all this is happening to the jiva, not to the soul. Soul doesn't experience any happiness or a distress. Soul is on its own. It is blissful. But the so-called experience and happiness and distress of this world is experienced by the jiva. Isn't it? Jiva experiences all that. So, therefore, from the position of the soul, happiness and distress has no meaning. Happiness and distress has no meaning. Sometimes we say to Krishna, why are you giving me so much distress? We never say to Krishna, why are you giving me so much happiness, isn't it? Has anyone any time in the history asked Krishna, why you are giving me so much happiness? No. There it is us. We don't want to consult Krishna on that. But when distress comes, we ask Krishna, why you are giving so much. But Krishna is also laughing. The poor man, he has no idea that he is not experiencing the distress. Distress is experienced by the jiva. False ego is getting hurt. That's where the distress is coming from. Happiness also, it's false ego that is enjoying the happiness, as much as the false ego is experiencing the distress also in the same way. But it's been given to us that when distress comes, there's a possibility that the mind will really start looking for a genuine thing, which is the soul. Which is the soul. That's why distress is given. That is the Siddhantam of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, that's why we gave this example. It's a very crude example of this cow who, unless it gets the real food inside in the same goshala where it's tied, if he gets it, then it won't go wandering around. mind is also similar to that. If the mind does not get that spiritual nourishment inside about the soul and spiritual life, the mind will go. It will go outside. Then it will start thinking that, oh, I have to change this world. I have to save the world. All these ideas are coming from there. Because inside it's not getting the food what it's looking for. Therefore, it start saying like this. So therefore, in order to do that, something one has to start in spiritual life. And that is where that beginning process, somehow or the other, the mind should go inward. And to get that mind attracted to spiritual life, we have to chant the holy name. That is the easiest process to do that. Otherwise, it won't happen. You can also see yourself. If you chant, you will see chittavritti comes down to some level. And some possibility of some inquiry will begin inside about the truth. Otherwise, it won't happen. So, so that attraction to the soul, attraction towards the soul, and inward-looking nature will not happen if you don't chant. If you don't chant. Why chanting? Because chanting is the easiest process to develop this inward-looking nature. Some people, if they are fortunate, they don't have a lot of chittavritti, they may be able to do it in a without a great difficulty. But most of us, we need this on a regular basis. Chanting is necessary. Otherwise, it cannot be done. If we do that, what will happen is, as I mentioned before, it's not a sadhana, it's anushtanam it is. Anushtanam means that you do it as though it's been told that you have to do it. You have no choice there. It just has to be done. In that way, it should be done. And you'll notice that it will turn the mind inward looking. That is the beauty of that. So, only in that way, you will find what Krishna is. Nobody has found out Krishna outside. Every great devotee, they saw Krishna inside. In the Bhagavatam, there is the best examples. Remember, Sri Narada Maharshi, what happened to him first? When he went and sat there in the forest, after leaving home, mother's death, everything happened. He went to the forest and he sat there. And where did Krishna appear to him? Inside he appeared. He inside appeared. But no, that is a pro system. He appears inside first. So, it is not possible to see Krishna like that. And little bit here and there you may say this happened in this temple, that happened in that temple, all those things. But even then that experience is inside. Experience is inside. And that outside experiences, it will stay for a while. And it will stay for a while and it will go. It will come and it will go. So searching for that true Krishna inside is an important thing. I mentioned this also in the Bhagavad Gita, how Krishna puts it, isn't it? How does Krishna puts it? You have noticed that? If you look into that verse, Ishara Sarvabhudanam Hrudeshe Arjuna Tishtadi, in the 18th chapter, Krishna mentions there that 61. Yeah. Ishara Sarvabhudanam Hrudeshe Arjuna Tishtadi Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yandrarutani Mayaya. Ishvara Sarvabhudanam, in all living entities, the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living beings who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. Hrudeshe Arjuna, that is where he is. Again, Krishna is saying this. That's where I am. Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hrudeshe Arjuna Tishtadi. And have you noticed in the very next verse what Krishna said? Tameva Sharanam Gacha, surrender unto him there. Tameva Sharanam Gacha, Sarvabhavena Bharadam, Talprasadal Param Shandim, Stanam Prapsisishashvadam. O son of Bharata, surrender unto him utterly, to him, O Ishvara inside there. By his grace, you will attain transcendental peace and the supreme and eternal abode. So that eternal abode, we always misunderstand that it is somewhere else. It is that realization what happens, that is that abode, where it happens. You can see the verse very clearly. Sthanam prapsisi shashvatam. Eternal abode is when you realize that self inside. That is your eternal abode. In the Puranams and in the other places, you will see different abodes spoken. Isn't it? We say, oh, the abode is Golokam, Vaikuntham, or Kailasam. It's like that, Akshardham. Like that, so many abodes are spoken. In the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, you can see here, Tameva Sharanam Gacha, Sarvabhavena Bharata, Yat Prasadat Param, Shandim, Sthanam, Prapsisi, Shashwadam. What is the nature of that sthanam? Shandi. Shandi is the nature. Shandi means what? No more movement of the mind. Come to a steady state. Never disturbed by anything what goes on in this world. Sthanam prapsasi shashvatam. So, here it is not possible. So, sometimes he said, once a devotee, he asked this question to a sannyasi, and sannyasi said to him, yes, you have to search for him there. So he started doing some meditation, all that, to about the presence of the soul inside. He was going into meditation. But he said, after a while it was becoming still nothing happening. Mind was not allowing him to stay, because it's not easy to get this mind under control. So he thought, why is this mind going away all the time? In spite of that, I'm not getting that shandi inside. Externally, I'm thinking that I would like the mind to go towards the soul. But mind is not listening, going out all the time. Why not the mind come and stay inside? Why is it going outside? This question came up and he asked this. So when he went there, what happened was, he asked this question to a sannyasi, and sannyasi didn't answer that question. What happened was, sannyasi was walking around in his ashram, and there was a lot of squirrels, you know the squirrel. A mother was there, and the mother had about half a dozen baby squirrels with that. So mother had this baby squirrels, and mother had gone looking for food somewhere. And the babies, they were running around everywhere. They don't know the world. They have just come out and they were enjoying the childish nature. The squirrels were running around. So this what the sannyasi did was, sannyasi was keeping the mother squirrel. And it had its own cage. Cage means he used to feed the squirrel every day. Why the cage? Because sometimes the cats will see the squirrel and want to catch the cats. You know how they are. They are like, they sleep their eyes closed and something goes, it's inside. Gone before you know. So, knowing very well, this sannyasi has given shelter to this mother squirrel in a cage to take shelter so that the cat won't attack the cage. Meanwhile, these babies had come. And the mother has gone looking for food somewhere. Although there was enough there, still mother felt the need, their natural urge in the mother. So the babies were running around, and the sannyasi thought, I should put all of them into the cage. And he will catch one and bring them and leave them in the cage. And then by then the other one will escape from the cage. So yeah, after the second one, he'll get that and bring it one, but the first one has gone. So this was going on for some time. And this devotee who asked this question, he was standing there and watching this. What was going on? So the sannyasis looked at him and smiled, whether he got the message. The message was, the mind is like these squirrels. They'll go, if you try to bring him and keep him there, the other one, there'll be something else will come and take him out. So in the same way, this is what was happening. So three or four baby squirrels were like that, and ultimately he managed to pull all of them together, put them inside the box and close the door so they couldn't get out anywhere. So the person who asked the question, he got the answer more or less. So whenever it's running out, bring it back and put them back into the box again. So he says to him, the sannyasi says to him, this poor baby squirrel, he does not know what danger is in the world outside. He does not know that the cat is waiting outside to eat. Cat won't catch the squirrel in front of the sannyasi. When nobody is there, it will take advantage of the situation. Yeah. So that is why, but he does not know, the baby squirrel doesn't know that the cat is outside ready to catch. So therefore it's running. But once he knows that the cat is a danger, in a natural way, it will stay inside the cage. It won't go. Once it got frightened by the cat, that cat will catch the baby and eat. And once it knows the danger, what will the squirrel do? Babies will stay inside the cage and he knows that that is its place and it will stay there. So mind is like that. Once it knows that there is distress outside in this world, because it does not know that there is distress in this world, it goes after sense gratification. That's why the mind is going after sense gratification. And then what does it do? The world will tell you there is happiness in this, happiness in that, and so many things. And mind will keep on wandering one thing after the other. When will it understand? When will the mind understand? For a long time, after it has seen the cat, after it got bitten by the cat for a few times, then it will understand that cat means distress. Cat means distress. So, a lot of time, if you experience this distress, you will understand that Shanti is in the Swarupam. Shanti is in the Swarupam. So that mind which is wandering around, when it sees the time, what it does in this world, it should get frightened and it will take shelter of the soul. That is why Krishna is presented in that way. Prayaccha mrityo amrutam amrutam mrutam cha mruta amrutam cha maya manushyasya vadasya vidvan viryani tasya akhila dehavajam andarbahi purushakala rupaihi prayachado mrutyumudamrutam cha maya manushyasya vadasya vidvan. So as much as it get frightened of the time changing nature of this world and the death that is going to come one day or the other and which is going to cause a lot of distress in this to us, if mind accepts all that, it will start go inward looking for the soul and to experience that immortality. One place it says, in Srimad Bhagavatam this is mentioned, when you see time, you should get frightened. Martyo mrutyu vyala bhita palayan, it says in the Bhagavatam. Martyo mrutyu vyala bhita palayan. When you see the time, what it does in this world, you should get frightened from that. So, you should see the death personified in the form of a snake. That's how it's mentioned. Martyo mrutyu vyala bhita palayan. Vyalam is a snake. In that way, you should see that. And then you should see the soul and take shelter of the soul. Once you have experienced the soul, self-realization happens. Then, after you have happened that, then there is no death, there is no birth. There is no birth. What does self-realization mean? Self-realization means, you have talked about Krishna's identity, isn't it? Krishna's nature. Atma is the Swarupam of Krishna. Atma is the Swarupam of Krishna. I'll repeat that again. Atma is the Swarupam of Krishna. You can't relate with Krishna without keeping Atma in the picture. Atma is the Swarupam of Krishna. And that is why Krishna was defined in that way. You can only define Krishna in this way. I mentioned Vasudeva and Mahavali defines Kevala Anubhavanandam. Kevala Anubhavanandam. That's how they define Krishna. Here, Atma is defined as Krishna. So, Atma means what? That's the question, isn't it? So, that is the essence. That is the Atma is the essence. all the three states, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, the witness to all these three states is Atma. Is Atma. Vacant state is the Jagrat, dream state is the Swapnam, and deep sleep is Sushupti. In all these three states, one who is seeing that those three states are coming and going, like we know, Jagrat state, we know we are in Jagrat, isn't it? The one who knows that he is in Jagrat is Atma. The one who knows he is in the dream state, or he was in the dream state, or when he is experiencing the dream state, one who knows that is the Atma. One who comes back from the Sushupti and says that it was a wonderful experience in the deep sleep, one who is reporting back, that is Atma. That is Atma. So, why we say that? Because the one who is woken up, and it is the same person, is experiencing the dream. Isn't it? They are not two different people. The person who is in the vacant state is the same person who is experiencing the dream. Who is experiencing the dream. And it's the same person who is experiencing the dream goes into deep sleep as well. Is experiencing deep sleep. They are not three different people, are they? How do we know that? From our own experience, we know that. Isn't it? Because when you move from vacant state to dream state, you are not aware of the vacant state. You are in the dream state. That is the proof that this person has left this place, state, and moved into the next state. Suppose the person who was experiencing the vacant state were different from the person in the dream state. When you are experiencing the dream in the dream state, you should have been able to experience the vacant state as well. But you are missing the vacant state at that point, and you're going to, it's to prove that the person who is experiencing the vacant state, dream state, and the deep sleep is one and the same person. Similarly, when you go to deep sleep, your dreams have gone. Why did the dreams leave you at that time? Because you have left the dream state and moved into the deep sleep state. That is an important point. That you cannot exist in all the three states same time. Because sometimes people ask this question, that if in the vacant state and in the dream state and in the deep sleep, are they three different persons? No, they are not. They are one and the same person. They are the one and the same person. But similarly, so the body of the vacant state or the personality of the dream state is not there in the deep sleep. Have you noticed that? The body of the vacant state or the individuality or the personality of the dream state does not exist in the deep sleep. Does not exist in the deep sleep. In Sushupti, in deep sleep state, only the awareness is there, but not separately. Not separately. Jivatvam is there because you're not dead yet. Existence is there even while deep sleep state, that awareness is still there, but that finding out that pure awareness, pure identity of that is what, who am I? That question is coming. What is my real identity? And if you keep on giving attention to that, you will get a freedom from this body and the mind. Because at the moment, all what has happened to us is, we are trapped in the body and the mind. The so-called me, I'm trapped in the body and the mind. But if I keep on looking at these three states and keep on seeing that when I come to the deep sleep state, body is not following me, mind is not following me. I am only experiencing that state of the deep sleep, and only that experience tells me that my awareness has not gone. What has lost is the awareness of the body and the mind. Awareness of the body and the mind is gone, but awareness of my existence, astitvam, that's a Shastram word, astitvam has not left me. That's the only thing that has not left you. Astitvam has not gone, because even in deep sleep, you're conscious of that happiness of the deep sleep, isn't it? That's why you don't want to leave it in the deep sleep state. You're conscious of the deep sleep, astitvam is there, awareness, which you have it in the vacant state as well as in the dream state. So if we keep on analyzing this, slowly, depending on the intensity of our reflection, intensity of our analysis, slowly you can free yourself from the grips of the body and the mind. So there is nothing much. This is the direct method of self-realization. If it is possible, we should do that. So that's enough to find out the truth behind this creation. So normally, if it is not possible like that, this is Jnanamargam. That is a direct experience. If it is not possible, then you have to follow the roundabout way of catching the nose. Instead of catching like this, you have to go like this and catch the nose. What is that? All the other processes, what we do. Like we follow the process of meditation and things like that. It's necessary because by meditation, what we are doing is to take the attention towards the soul somehow or the other. But ultimately, the result is this, to come to the point that my awareness, existence, I am existence, bliss, absolute, isn't it? That's how it's translated. Sachidananda Rupam. Satya Chitta Anandam. Eternal blissful knowledge. That's what I am, says. So, so there are many instances where it is explained. Also, I mentioned this story before, that whichever way you go, karma margam, yoga margam, bhakti yogam, jnana margam, whichever, ultimately you have to come to this truth that I have nothing to do with this body. Give you the example. In the villages before, they used to carry the goods from the village to the town. So what they used to do in the olden days, they had these bullock carts in a row, many of them in a row. They will all fill their goods by evening, and in the whole night they will travel to the city, carrying all the groceries, vegetables and so many things. So only the first bullock cart, the cart driver has to be awake. All others can sleep. Why? Because all of the bullock carts are one behind the other. They'll just follow them in a row. You don't have to. Normally what they do? In villages, they'll go from 20, 30 of them in a row. You'll see them going in the streets. Only the one in the first one, bullock cart, he will be awake. The driver, he has to make sure that he goes in the right way. Others will naturally follow him. He knows about that. So once it so happened, one person, he could not join this group. He went on his own. So when they come in a group like that, they have to go through this check post where they will be taxed, and they have to pay the tax for the goods they are bringing into the city. Some system in those days, it exists in different forms now. And now you swipe the card and go. In those days, it was different, isn't it? So it's the same thing in a different way, that's all. So once it so happened, one person, he had to go in the night and he did not have any groups to join. So he thought, let me escape that toll system. He knew some shortcut through some other means to go and bypass this toll booth and get onto the other side. So he started his journey, and after a while he fell asleep. So what happened was, the bulls only knew this route. So the whole night the bulls were wandering wherever he has taken them in the night. It was wandering. Ultimately, when he fell asleep, the bulls came back to its normal route. And in the morning when he woke up, he saw the bullock cart was standing in front of the check post. He couldn't escape that. So similarly, in all this different yoga process we are studying in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and all that, you shouldn't get too much into the technicalities of it, thinking that, oh, am I following this process correctly or this process correctly? That's all misunderstanding. Process is this. Ultimately, you have to get out of the body. That's all it is. The identity with the body must go. How you make it, how you get it, that's up to you. Which like the individual man who decided the, whether you catch this way or you catch this way, doesn't matter. The truth will be spoken. Shastram will never tell you the process in detail. Shastram will tell you the goal always. Because for every one of us, the process will be different. We are not made of the same material inside. That's the problem. So we ourselves have to know what is inside us, and accordingly what is necessary to be done, we have to do it in spiritual life. That is how spiritual life goes. Not that hundreds of people put together in a package, everybody should do the same thing every day, morning to night, and then everyone will realize the self at the same time. It won't happen. It's not possible. Because of the subtle body is like that. So the answer to that is that as long as you have accepted the principle of spiritual life, the point is this, the goal should be known. What is the goal? Most of the people, halfway, they miss the goal itself. Then it goes in another direction. The whole thing changes. So, that is what it is, that it comes back to the checkpost. Ultimately, we will be forced to ask this question, who am I? What am I searching for in spiritual life? This question will come back. This is the only question we have to ask. What is my identity? Who am I? This self-realization, in other words. And that is the only thing you can be guaranteed in spiritual life. Nothing else can be guaranteed. Everything else, we say so many things in spiritual life. If you do so many rounds, if you chant every day, you will realize the truth. We can say, but can you guarantee it? No. Nobody can guarantee it. That is the way it is. That's the nature of the... for example, suppose somebody comes to you and says to you, does God exist? A question they can ask you. And sometimes it's possible that there are very clever people who can argue against your convictions very well, much more effectively, and change your way of thinking. Isn't it? There is sometimes some spiritual leaders, they go to some universities, and in university you'll find very intelligent people who have a lot of intelligence. They can talk. They can argue against your argument very effectively and confuse you altogether, and you will disturb your faith. For example, I saw one meeting like that in, I think it was in the UCL, in the University College in London. Some of our devotees arranged one sannyasi went there for a meeting. And there was a professor there, Stephen Law. And he is an atheist. And he said that I'm an atheist. And this debating society in the university arranged this meeting between the sannyasi and the professor. So how they do in the debating society, they give you 10 minutes for the first person to prove your point. And then they give you 10 minutes to prove, justify the existence of God. One person is saying God doesn't exist. The other person is saying God exists. So this devotee was saying that we have got four inherent defects. What are they? This, you know, the four things what we talk about. Tendency to cheat, propensity to commit mistakes. Propensity to cheat, tendency to commit mistakes, imperfect senses, to be under illusion. Our devotee was arguing based on these four things. This professor, he could analyze each one of them in much more depth. And he started saying things which even the devotee has not thought of about it. So he started getting worried whether is this all true, because he has only understood these four things on a surface. But the other people, they are also psychologists, psychiatrists there, and the professors of material sciences, they are also thinking about it, because they are also reading all these things. And he was trying to prove that spiritual, religious people, they use various techniques to control the mind of others, and these four things are based on that, he said. He was trying to purify. Now, if you go on doing like this, what will happen is you will not be able to live spiritual life. That is the result of that. So this will always happen in this world. So when they come and argue, it will disturb your faith also. But can anybody disturb your faith of your own existence? Nobody, can they? Nobody can tell you don't exist. This is why I'm saying spiritual life has to be based on this understanding. That is why in Srimad Bhagavatam, when referring to Krishna, it is referred in terms of the soul, not in terms of the Ishvara, or to the extent that to as a person living completely outside you. He is very much there, relationship with the soul. So, if you say anything more than that, it is confusing also. So therefore, it is said like this, you should not talk too much about it, but that awareness is your direct experience. You don't need anything more than that, and we should be satisfied with that. So we have to come back to this question, and coming back to this, identity is satsangam. That is satsangam. Sat, because that is a sat. Sat is that, and sangam with that, sat is satsangam. So when we say this, often what happens is, sometimes people like it, that people want to hear story. It's in katha. They say katha. We like to hear katha. They say that it is sufficient. They like to hear the katha, and they say, it is enough if you tell the Bhagavad Gita stories. All this philosophy and Vedantam and all, it is too much, they say. But it is sufficient if you say that. But what is our identity? That is the first thing, isn't it? Without knowing what we are, what are we searching for? Without knowing what we are wanting. So, so our present inquiry is like this. I'll tell you one interesting story this is, because story is what everyone likes to hear. I'm just saying the way our mind works. One child, a small child, he was 4 years, something like that, old. He went to school, and into the school, he had to, they teach them small little things, isn't it? They taught him about the cow, they taught him about the chicken, they taught him about apple, they taught him about trees and this and the other. He doesn't know much, he's not good at studies. The only one subject he has learned is about a coconut tree or something. He read about the coconut tree and he thought it's interesting to read about the coconut tree. Something he got attracted to coconut, his little mind got attracted to the coconut tree. So he said that he thought, if you ask me about the coconut tree, I will write all the answers properly in the examinations. You know, when they give little tests in the school. If they ask about the coconut tree, I'll write everything. But unfortunately, when the questions came up, nothing was asked about coconut tree. They asked about the first question, to talk about the cow. He said, you know, describe about the cow, he said. So he couldn't say much about the cow. He didn't know anything much about the cow. Little things he knew. And then, so what he did was, he said that cow has got 4 legs and 2 eyes and two horns and everything. And normally we tie the cow to the coconut tree. And he started explaining the coconut tree in a big way. Coconut tree is all the features he explained in detail. So that was his answer about the first question. But second question was more difficult. It was about the chicken. Now how to connect chicken and the coconut tree, which is much more difficult, isn't it? Much more difficult. So he thought about it for a long time, how to link chicken and, because cow he could tie to the, because normally in the villages they tie the cows to the coconut tree. So there he found an escape route. With chicken, he could not do anything with the coconut tree. So you know what he did? He said, we don't tie chicken to the coconut tree. And then he started explaining the coconut tree. So spiritual life is like that. So many things we are doing, all in the name of spiritual life, thinking that it's all spiritual life. But in principle and spiritual life, ultimately what do we want from this? To escape from this bodily misery, identification with the body, and whatever that identification problems that it brings with that. By, we know very well from Bhagavad Gita that as much as our identification with the soul is complete, material existence is over. What happens after that is another question, whether we go to Golokam or Vaikuntham or somewhere else, that we can ask later. First, we have to get free ourselves from this state, isn't it? Mess we are in. So, this spiritual life here is in this way, like this coconut tree business. That soul is the thing where everything has to go to at the end. Whether you come through jnanam, bhakti, yogam, karmam, doesn't matter. Rajayogam or this one, somehow you have to get there. That is the most important thing. So, it is in the same way. So, our acharyas, they have done exactly the same thing. This is what they have done. Whether it is Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, through different philosophy of Advaitam, Dvaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, Achindya Bhedavedam and all that, is somehow or the other bring you back to the soul. That is the most important thing. What suits you, take it. Whichever helps you to get there. So, whatever you may say, Advaitis will say in one thing, big explanations they will give. The Vishishta Advaitis will say, no, 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 this is the way, they will explain their way. Achindya Bhedavedam will also will say in another thing. All those various explanations is all ultimately meant to get you to this realization, what happened to Parikshit at the end of Bhagavatam. It's the same thing, isn't it? It's the same thing. So, SB, what Srimad Bhagavatam says is that, that in any, it is a storybook in one sense, there's so many stories there, that whichever you take it and you look into it, you will see that generally the pattern in the Bhagavatam is very much common thing. There you will see demigods started praying because they had troubles from the demons. So they will go and glorify Krishna. And what will happen? Demigods will go and stand in front of Krishna. And then it will say, Brahma Vacha. Brahma will start the prayers. and Brahma's prayers, if you look, you will see some commonality in everything. Brahma will say that you are that Vastu, which has no vigaram, no change. You are the eternal thing. A lot of things what Brahma says is very much same in all the prayers. It is the same. And you also say there that you don't change in Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. You are that witness in all these three states. And because you are inside this body, the body is functioning, mind is moving, and hunger, thirst, all these things are experienced. And like this, and then they will, and this glorifications, like what is known as Stuti, Stuti will be introduced through a story. This is what Bhagavatam does. It will be introduced through the story. This is what Bhagavatam does. There is very interesting commentaries on these things. The way Bhagavatam capture your attention and take you to the soul. Normally, suppose you tell someone all this about the soul, nobody will take any notice of it. Because mind is so much outside wandering outside. So it's not easy to get it back. So that is why all these stories centered around the demigods, the demons, and how demigods were disturbed by the demons and the demigods started praying. You will see in the seventh canto how the demigods wandered around because of the trouble from Hiranyakashipu, and they started praying, and then this is all in the actual things happened. But the message there, why, by me knowing today what happened in Satyayugam between Hiranyakashipu and Prahlada and others, how will it help me today if I don't get the message properly? Message is this, that in Srimad Bhagavatam, all the incidents what is reported there, they are all reality, truth. But the message underlying that is that the attraction for the soul has to happen. That's what has happened to Prahlada. That is what has happened to Dhruva. That is what has happened to every devotee in the Bhagavatam. Attraction towards the soul has increased and they became conscious of the awareness of the soul and self-realization has happened to them. That is the process. So here you can see here, if you look into the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 8th canto, how that comes out. It's a beautiful way that has been done in the Bhagavatam. Because when you look at that, you will recognize that how clever Vedavyas is in bringing these things to us. He says there in the 8th canto, if you look into the 5th chapter, 8th canto into the 5th chapter, that is where when right before that we had the story of Gajendra, the elephant, isn't it? The devotee elephant. Elephant, he had he had the demigods are going to Brahma. This happens after this story of the Gajendra story, the elephant story, 5th chapter. Demigods are going to Lord Brahma and they are all together glorifying Krishna. They are all together glorifying Krishna. So if you go into that verse, 26th verse, Brahma's prayers begin there. Look at the way Brahma is glorifying Krishna. Avikriyam satyamanandamadhyam guhashayam nishkalama pradarkyam manograyanam vajasa niruktam namamahe deva varam varenyam. Brahma's prayer. Avikriyam satyam anandam adhyam guhashayam nishkalam apradarkyam manograyanam vajasa aniruktam namamahe deva varam varenyam. First thing is avikriyam. And satyam anandam adhyam. Brahma says to him that guhashayam. Guhashayam means one who is present in inside everyone. Guha, that cave inside. Guhashayam. Nishkalam apradarkyam. Not only that, he is andaryami and he is nirubhadiyam. Upadiyam means upadis don't affect him. We have got upadi. What is our upadi? Body, mind, intelligence, these are all our upadi, senses, they are all our upadi. Upadi means the limitations, or you can call it conditioning is due to upadis, isn't it? Upadi is the cause of our conditioning. So these upadis don't exist in the soul. Soul doesn't have upadis in that. It is in the mind, intelligence, it's all centered around the false ego. Upadis are centered around the false ego. So here, it says here, avikriyam satyam anandam adhyam. It is always the truth, the sat it is, anandam unlimited it is, and it is the first thing that always existed, adhyam. Always existed, unlimited it is, and it is the truth. Addressing the soul, but addressing Krishna in that way. At the same time, mano agrayanam vajasa aniruktam. Mind and words cannot express that, what it is. That is the difficulty with the soul. Soul cannot be explained by mind. Soul cannot be explained by words or anything, or the mind. Words or the mind cannot talk about the soul. Why? Because the words and the mind has come from the soul. That's why it is. And because it cannot be subjected to the explanation from the mind or the words, it's not subjected to that, and it cannot be seen by anyone. Agocharam. And manograyanam vajasa anduktam namamahe deva varam varanyam. To that personality I pay my obeisances, he says. So you can see the prayers, that is how the prayers are in the Bhagavatam. And they used to, so normally if you are addressing a person and praying to him, what you won't say like this, would you? You will say how beautiful you look in your yellow garments and in your flute in the hand and your peacock feather. But Krishna is addressed in this way. Nothing referring to the form, rather referring to the truth. So the system is, first there will be a story and there will be glorifications, and after glorifications, the tatvam will be spoken. That's how it is. You can see the story was spoken, Gajendra Moksham, and then the demigods goes to Brahma, and then there is a stuti, and in the stuti, tatvam was spoken. You see how it works in the Bhagavatam? That's the principle. So, stuti, if you look into the stuti, the glorifications, you will see that there is a body, and inside the body, there is this awareness, bodham, awareness. And you have to find that out, that awareness. And that awareness is Krishna's form. You can see how that is manifested in that glorification. Is it not? Do you see that? If you haven't got Bhagavatam, when you go home, you can take that verse and look at it. And see how after Gajendra Mokshanam story, demigods go with Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma go together with them and glorifies Krishna. But while up to that point, it is from the story that comes. But as soon as glorification started, immediately you can see how Brahma takes to the tattvam, to the truth behind it. through the Stuti, if you don't get to the soul, Bhotavastu, awareness inside, if you don't get there, then the, it is not, it is remains simply as a story only. So, and what will that say? When they talk about that Vastu inside, the soul inside, Brahma is saying, it has no birth, it has no death. That is the nature of that Vastu inside. And that is Krishna's form. That is Krishna's form. Otherwise, you see, if you start thinking, Krishna doesn't die like us. Yes, it is true, Krishna doesn't die like us. Krishna doesn't take birth like us. Also, it is true, Krishna doesn't take birth like us. But if you keep on seeing Krishna in this way, what will happen to us is, we will not see this transcendental aspect of Krishna, which is the real aspect of Krishna. That avikriyam tarkam anandam adhyam, he says, as soon as glorification started, Krishna's transcendental qualities are spoken. Not the externally manifested qualities, the transcendental qualities. Transcendental nature is spoken. And we have to find that as Krishna's form as well. The, so that process is spoken here. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, the three states. And the person who is a witness of all the three states. And in all these three states, all these three states, where does it happen? It happens in Krishna. Because soul is the background of everything. And that person who is experiencing that, that is the Atma or the soul. Atma or the soul. So, I know this is little hard not understand, to get acceptance of this thing inside, because it's very much looks as though it is somewhat very abstract, isn't it? Because of the nature of the soul. It does not matter. Even if you have not got it, let it stay there in this way. Because this is the proper way to understand Bhagavatam. Otherwise, if you simply just take it as stories and leave it like that, you're not going into the deeper level of Srimad Bhagavatam's message. That is why it said. So this realization, one day it will come up. Because the more we get absorbed inside, all these thoughts will come back in some form. It's a very subtle level that is spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that let it lie there. One day it will come up. After going through so many experiences, one day we will start asking the question, who is experiencing it? Who is experiencing it? So, that is that knowledge, and that is where this knowledge becomes powerful and effective also. At that point, you will realize that the body, the mind, the intelligence, everything is not me. Rather, in the background of this awareness or bodham or my existence, these things have come and they will go. And that is the principle. And even including the whole creation is coming in the background of that soul, in the background of the soul. So, once to a sannyasi, one devotee asked a question. He saw this sannyasi alone all the time and satisfied with everything in his own life. So he goes to him and he says to him, seeing the sannyasi is having a great time, he thought. So he said, whereas at home I got my wife, children, they are asking so many things and I have to give everything to them. And all my time is given to them and all my money I have to give it to them. And like this he was thinking, but when he saw the sannyasi is not working, he's just living a good life without too much struggle. So he says to him, shall I go and give up my family? He said, will I be okay? I'll also become like you, he said, this householder. He goes to sannyasi. Householder is thinking sannyasi is having a great time. Sannyasi is thinking householder is having a great time. Great, vice versa. Because he is thinking, householder, how fortunate he is. He has got his house, he has got wife, children, everything, and he's having and living a good prasadam on time, every time. And whereas me, I have to go and beg and bring something. But still, he was a sannyasi, so he was living like that. So he asked this question. So sannyasi says, what is there to give up? Actually, they don't exist, he said. This was the answer given to him. Because he said to him, this even this thing called wife, children, family, home and everything is nothing, from the spiritual point of view, is nothing but a chittavritti. It exists in the chittam only. It has nothing to do with the soul. It only exists as a chittavritti. That is all it is. We give a lot of importance to all these things, isn't it? Why family, children and all, we think it is such an important thing. But Shastram is saying that is only a chittavritti. Although in Vyavaharam, in the Vyavahara world, we may have to follow the Vyavaharam to some extent, but you should not allow that to enter inside and disturb the spiritual life at all under any circumstances. So actually Sannyasi says to him, if you have found out this truth, there is nothing here. Neither the body is there, nor the wife is there, nor the children are there, nor the family is there, nor the house is there. All that exists is pure consciousness. It is in that pure consciousness, everything happens. Now, the question comes, consciousness is not in the creation. Creation is in the consciousness. This is a very important principle. You see, normally people are thinking always that we say, I am conscious. I can tell you many, many misunderstandings what we have got on this. We say, consciousness is in the world, we say. World is conscious, we say. No, consciousness, world is in the consciousness. Consciousness is not in the world. Today we say like that, isn't it? We say like that. In the whole creation, so many conscious entities, we say. No. World is in the consciousness. Consciousness is not in the world. Consciousness is situated, world is situated in the consciousness. Consciousness is not situated in the world. That is the principle. Bhagavatam is very straight about that. So because what this world means, world is an experience, isn't it? World is an experience. And where does the experience stands? Experience stands in the person who is experiencing it. Isn't it? And who is the person who is experiencing? I am experiencing, and this creation is my experience. Is my experience. And this experience is only in one place, and that is in the consciousness, in the soul. It is only in the soul. It is not in the body. For example, the legs are not seeing the world or experiencing the world. The hands are not experiencing the world. I am experiencing the world in my consciousness. In my consciousness. So, that remember what we talked about, two things. Experience is for the soul. Perception is for the mind. Perception is for the mind. Now here, I am looking at everyone and I am seeing everybody through my eyes. And that is called pratiti. In Shastram it is called pratiti or perception. And that is not my, you are not my experience. What I have is your perception. Isn't it? I perceive your presence here. Suppose the light's gone off, everything switched off, complete darkness here. I lose my perception of you, your presence here. But I don't lose my experience of me. My awareness I don't lose. I'm still there. Why? Because it's coming from the soul. Whereas perception is coming from the senses and the mind. That is the big difference. These are important because to understand the soul, this experience is more important than the perception. Perception is not important. The mic I am seeing here, I am seeing you also like the mic, and only with the help of the sense, the eyes. Similarly, so many sounds I am hearing, but many sounds I am hearing, but my awareness without sound also I can experience my own awareness. But all the other sounds I need the ears to hear. Other things I need the ears to hear. So if I don't have the ears, I can do it. So that is also not experience. Eyes don't give you experience, they give you perception. Ears also give you perception. Tongue also give you perception. Because you are identifying with the body, you are thinking that you are experiencing the taste. But actually you are not experiencing. You are perceiving the taste through your senses. You are not doing it, the body, the tongue, the senses are doing that. So, for that and for sparsha sugam. Sparsha sugam means the sense of touch, you need the skin. isn't it? You need the sin. But I don't need any of these things to know of my own awareness, isn't it? My own existence I can know without all these things. I don't need senses. I don't need senses. I don't need to touch myself to see whether I exist or not. If I want to know whether you exist or not, I have to touch and feel if it is dark, isn't it? Otherwise, I have to see through the eyes. Only then I can know. But my own existence, I don't need any external tool to know about my own awareness. We'll stop there now. It's 5 o'clock. And we'll continue Srimad Bhagavatam tomorrow and Bhagavad Gita next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.